about.
We have more. A lot more.
What?
So I hope that there's nowhere you need to be, because this could take a while.
How long?
Just as long as we want to talk to you, you son of a...
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
This is a very important moment. Don't waste it being human. Your answer will define your future. Think like a champion.
All right, who's more of a dick, Kevin or Bean?
Well, maybe Bean. Back in 2000, but Bean's been pretty cool.
Who's your favorite, Kevin or Bean?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
What do you like about Kevin?
White guys, he has a pretty good knowledge of things.
My head hurts.
This can't be right. God, no. All kinds of wrong.
And now,
I gotta be honest, I am a little squeamish when it comes to things in the butt.
Our feature presentation.
that's quite a statement there, B.
It's nice to share.
I have no idea where that piece of tape came from, what the conversation was, but I came across it. I thought, all right.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the first day of February.
What's going on, you guys?
It's February.
It's February.
Right? New month, new you.
Hey. And it's Groundhog Day Eve.
Is it?
No such thing.
Sure.
No.
Well, if tomorrow's Groundhog Day, then today's Groundhog Day Eve.
No.
Well,
really?
The day before the thing is always an Eve.
There's no Eve.
Of course it is.
There's no July 4th Eve. It's just Christmas Eve. Only Christmas.
Why is there Christmas Eve?
I don't know, but it's special. It stands on its own.
But
nobody says happy 4th of July Eve.
I didn't say it was a holiday or that it's a happy thing. I just mentioned that that's what it is on the calendar. Look, it's also Thursday Eve right now.
Happy Super Bowl Eve. I do that all the time. No?
You don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Correct.
By the way, Groundhog Day, really. It's the lamest of every day.
Right?
So it certainly doesn't need an Eve.
Didn't you guys go live from a zoo for Groundhog's Day? So.
It's been said that happened. I don't remember it.
We did. It was about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a live broadcast from the Los Angeles Zoo. And Lightning, who I think might have been our producer at the time, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
We dressed him up in a groundhog suit.
Sure.
And put him out in with the groundhogs in their exhibit. And then at a prearranged time, I think we had him come up to see whether he'd see a shadow or not.
Yeah. It was great.
I'm sure it was great radio.
It was great radio.
How does he still talk to you? Honestly, with everything you've done to that man.
We did abuse him pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
An excellent question.
Uh-huh.
Hey, got a couple of stories to get us started with here. Allie, I know you're going to be very excited because we're going to talk about your boyfriend, Ray Johnstone, for starters.
Oh, I love him so much.
You love Ray so much. Ray is 75 years old, Kevin, and he's an Australian. And as you hear in this news report, he has come across some tough times.
Okay. For 75-year-old Ray Johnston, fishing is a passion. But following the death of his wife and best mate, this is as close to the water as he's been in several years.
Gets a bit lonely just sitting around watching tech TV a lot of the time.
So his wife died, his best friend died, he's lonely.
Sounds like everybody's trying to get away from him.
No,
he's just
is
that sad?
No, that's
sad,
not what
man.
We're getting.
My bad.
So he comes up with a plan.
The grandfather of 12's cast the net for a new fishing buddy, a friend helping him post an advertisement on Gumtree.
Now, Gumtree, did you get the impression, Allie, that Gumtree is a social media site in Australia?
Yeah, kind of like a Craigslist is how I took it.
All right.
So we had 12 grandchildren.
Yes.
None
no
of
one
whom
go fishing
would go
with.
Fishing with him?
Well, maybe it's not the same as going with a mate.
It's him.
With an age-appropriate mate. You think he's a dick?
I'm just saying it's a possibility.
Maybe all 12 of his grandkids are dicks, Kevin. You ever think of that?
Sure. Yeah, what are the chances, however?
Not great.
So he posts, my name is Ray Johnstone, Australian. I'm a widowed pensioner who is looking for a fishing mate. My previous mate is now deceased.
Oh.
What I want is a fishing mate in a similar position to myself who also wants someone to go fishing with. So it sounds like he's looking for an older person.
Sure.
That he has something in common with that
right.
He can go and just like he used to do with his mate. He used to go out there and just sit and fish. I'm willing to share all costs, for example, petrol bait. And petrol, bait, and should you happen to own a boat, I'm willing to pay all ramp fees, but happy if you're also a land-based fisherman. So he puts this ad up on January 19th, so just less than 2 weeks ago. The ad at the time of this article had been viewed more than 88,000 times, by the way.
Wow.
So it went viral, this old man looking for a fishing partner. Here's what happened next.
His brutal honesty striking a chord.
When I started getting a few phone calls this morning, I thought it was just because of the age, and then they just kept going. I'm amazed. This is something I'd never, ever expected.
More than 50,000 people have now viewed the plea, and hundreds have taken the bait.
I've had it from Queensland, New South Wales, Tasmania, Victoria.
There's even an online petition raising money to take Ray snapper fishing on the East Coast.
What about that, by the way?
Right?
What about not just, hey, I live near you, I'll go fishing at your fishing hole. What about we fly you out where the big bait is?
How about some excursions, fisherman?
How about that? That is sweet. Wouldn't it be awesome, Allie, if he meets a lady as a result of this posting as well? Because he's widowed.
Bean, let's not rush him into anything. Let's give him some time. He just wants to fish for now.
Okay.
They got the real big stuff over there.
It means the world to him. He hasn't been able to do it on his own. He needs someone out there to be with him.
That's, by the way, his daughter, who also isn't fishing with her father.
Wow, nobody in his family likes it.
You know what?
Hey, family, come fishing.
Wait a minute.
Seriously.
Maybe he is awful.
Seriously.
What is the deal with that? No one has more relatives who won't hang out with him than Ray. We were feeling bad for this guy, but I think you've hit it, Kevin.
Ray's a dick.
No one wants to hang out with him.
It seems Ray is now quite the catch.
You've made some good mates through fishing.
No, but it sounds like I will be.
Tim Yateman, 7 News.
I don't think Ray has long to live anyway. But anyway, that's a happy story, I guess. In case you're wondering, with calls coming in from all over Australia, thankfully Ray has found someone to go fishing with closer to home. Has been rumored. He has narrowed the search down to about 4 possible fishing buddies.
He's going to make them compete.
To the death.
3 will die. 1 will fish with me.
I don't know what the vetting process is, but he has narrowed it down. I don't know why he couldn't fish with multiple people. I mean, it seems like there are a lot of rules with Ray.
We really turned on Ray.
Ray's a dick. That's what we found out. Who knew?
Well, I hope he drowns the next day he goes fishing.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean, shall we?
What do you have to lose?
Right?
Right.
We need to talk about webcam girls.
Go on.
It seems like a thing. And Ralph was saying yesterday that it's really most of what's going on with porn now. Mm-hmm. The live girl with a little camera on her computer. Well, and from wherever she wants to do it, and they make big
and
dough.
Whenever, yeah, you cut out the middleman. There's no need to go through all that hassle of professionals being involved and filming it and releasing it. And, yeah, just do it kind of on your own schedule whenever you want and whatever you're comfortable with. You're your own boss.
And how much does that usually cost, B, to the guy?
I have no idea.
You don't even pay attention how much it's costing you?
Yes, I think he is a yearly, right?
I don't have any clue.
It's an all-you-can-watch yearly pass. So anyway, we'll talk about that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We will talk to Cal Penn, one of our favorite people, favorite actors, talking about the Syrian refugee CrowdRise fundraiser, which is a very cool thing for him to do. We also have Brandon Marshall from the New York Jets talking about the Super Bowl today on the program. We have should Monday after the Super Bowl be a holiday?
Yes.
The answer, yes.
And we should move it to Saturday and still keep Monday as a holiday. 2 days to recover.
I'm not sure you're
going to
get both.
Okay.
I think maybe
start slow.
Either move it to Saturday or get Monday off.
All right.
But the company Heinz is giving all of their employees off on Monday. I assume that's a PR move.
Mm-hmm.
But those people still don't have to go to work.
Yeah.
Right? So I think they should do that here at K-Rock, and we're going to start it. Also, we've got your tickets for Green Day at the Rose Bowl, and you qualify for that grand prize drawing to see them in Sydney, and maybe you can fish with Ray the Dick when you go to Australia. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
I'm glad Allie is here to witness this because
over
more than a quarter century, I have put up with Kevin being wrong a lot.
Oh, how dare
you! This may take the cake.
Arguing about this is insanity.
This may take the cake. This may be the last straw. This may break up the team, Kevin.
It's stupid beyond words.
How dare you? First of all,
stupid beyond words.
Good day, sir. You get nothing.
Let me get this straight. You two are arguing about a song from
1941.
Around 1977, I think.
Okay. That I've never even heard of.
Oh, you haven't?
Had no idea it existed.
Right. I'm going to introduce it to you.
All right, then stand by, because you're about to be schooled in greatness.
What exactly happened,
Allie,
Kevin, on your ride home yesterday?
On my drive home, I put my iPod on shuffle, and this song came up. I'm not even exactly sure why I have it, because I'm not a big fan of Ray Parker Jr., probably because of the Ghostbusters theme, and somehow
and this isn't the Ghostbusters theme.
No, oh, God, no. No.
Okay.
It's the dumbest song ever. And Bean loves
because
it.
Because it's awesome.
It's so dumb.
As is everything Ray Parker Jr.
It's
does,
so
by the
unbelievably
way.
Dumb.
All right. Stand by.
We'll
deal with
to
that coming up. First, though, Ralph is out today. Allie is in, taking a look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
I would like to give something away. Because
wow, look
it's,
at that. First
I know.
Thing.
It's 5:55 in the morning, and the first five callers are going to get a pair of passes to the premiere of the Lego Batman movie. That's happening this Saturday at the Bruin Theater. You okay over there, Kevin?
I'm fine.
Okay, good. This Saturday at the Bruin Theater, you are going to see the Lego Batman movie. Oh, it comes out on February 10th. You're going to see it, what, many days before that?
Math is hard. Math is very hard.
So if you call right now, 1-800-520-1067, you are going to get a pair of passes to see the Lego Batman movie starring Will Arnett, Zach Galifianakis, Michael Cera, Rosario Dawson, and apparently voices from our own Ralph Garman.
How about
you won't
that?
Tell us who.
Sure, it's going to be great. I mean, Will Arnett's Batman was one of everybody's favorite parts of the original Lego movie,
right? So good. So the first five callers, you're going to get that pair of passes to the premiere before the movie comes out on February the 10th. How much do you think NBA championship rings are going on the black market?
On the black market? Wow, I wouldn't know. NBA championship rings. I would guess 25 grand.
Yeah. Around that, right?
I don't know.
Here's the thing. Derek Fisher told police someone broke into his L.A. home and stole over $300,000 worth of jewelry, including his five NBA championship rings.
Oh, that sucks.
That does suck. Like, what's the recourse for that? Can you make some new ones?
I mean, I don't know. I don't even know who makes them. Maybe they can make replacements, but
yeah.
I doubt it.
Not good.
No.
But then again, how do you sell those? Somebody, you're going to know they're stolen.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
don't they have his name on them?
Yeah, but there are a lot of people who buy stuff, you know, anonymously that they don't care. They don't care that that's the case.
And there are some pretend, things that seem like they would be too hot to fence.
You I'm know, sorry, like old timey? What?
Too hot to fence. That's what you do, is you fence something, right?
What are you talking about?
Maybe they just go to the dark web and then boom. Anonymous.
Yeah, but if you bought that, Kevin, if you go out there today and buy a Derek Fisher championship ring, you can never wear it. You can never show it to people. You can never tell anybody about
it. I feel like I could put it up in my house somewhere.
You could, but then you'd be like, hey, these are too hot to fence.
I would say that, yeah.
You would.
That's true. I don't think I would want to sell it, though, is my point. My point is they probably buy it because they want it. I don't know.
And then just be like,
because Bean's right, you can't resell that, so you're not really doing it for an investment.
And you can't advertise it. You can't brag about it because it's stolen property, and it's widely known that it's stolen property. So I don't know. It's like when people steal super famous paintings. You know, they break into a gallery and steal the Scream or something. What are you going to do with that? Everybody knows it's stolen. So
I think that you put it on your wall, though, in that case.
And then just
say, honestly,
I got it at Bed Bath & Beyond.
That's a copy.
Right?
Yeah.
No big deal. You guys, this movie is everything I love. It's Liam Neeson.
Mm-hmm.
It's him fighting for a child.
I'm in.
And
is it taken again?
It's pretty much.
How many times can people get taken from him?
But it involves murder and snow. What?
Murder,
he's
going
to start. Listen to this. I thought it was a joke at first. He's going to star in the upcoming action thriller Hard Powder, playing a snowplow driver in a glitzy Colorado ski town whose life is turned upside down when his son is murdered by the powerful local drug kingpin. So he looks for revenge. Hard Powder. This is real.
That can't be real.
It's real.
I love the title.
If it's real, I'm going.
Playing a snowplow driver in a glitzy Colorado ski town. This has everything.
Wow.
You guys, seriously.
I'm in if it's real.
I'm in. Look it up, Hard Powder.
I don't want to look it up.
I'm not sure what would come up. Probably a few other movies as well. Hey, Kevin, you love Adam Levine.
I do.
You love him so much. He's getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It will be the 2,601st star, located at 6752 Hollywood Boulevard. Ceremony is going to take place on February 10th and include a few words from his fellow voice judge, Blake Shelton, as well as Sammy Hagar. What?
As well as Sammy Hagar.
I don't know the correlation. How do you think those two know each other?
I don't know.
Cabo, do you think? Just partying?
They just met in Cabo at his place?
Like, what up? Now we're best friends. I don't know.
I don't know either.
And Bean, this is for you. You like the Grateful Dead, right?
I love them.
What about Fish? Do you like Fish?
I do.
Well, the band Fish has booked the Baker's Dozen Tour. 13 nights at Madison Square Garden from July 21st through August 6th. 13 nights!
I'm not surprised because Fish is one of those bands that can sell out as many seats as they want to anytime, but particularly in New York City.
Right. MSG, I can't. Here's the part I love. I guess they're not that big on deals, but you can get the 13-show ticket package for the price of 12. What the hell kind of deal is that,
wow.
Fish?
You're still buying 12 tickets.
They think people are so high, they're like, yes. That is a great deal. I'm going to totally get that deal. Oh, that made me laugh. All right, you guys, let's celebrate some birthdays with these people. Actor Pauly Shore is turning 49 today. Weezer drummer Patrick Wilson is 49. Actor Michael C. Hall, 46. Outkast rapper Big Boy is 42. UFC fighter and former champion Ronda Rousey is 30. And singer Harry Styles, 23 today. I'm Allie McCain for Off Gum Room. Welcome.
I'm sorry. What was that? I didn't quite catch that. Hold on.
Take two.
I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Wow, that's nice. Thank you very much.
That's not for you.
It's
for Nirvana.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 24 minutes after 6. All right, let me ask you this, based on that last conversation about me going to the great Charles Brown's funeral.
Yeah.
Kevin Bean Lister Joel did a little deep diving into the L.A. Times archives and found the actual announcement about the funeral that I saw in the paper on January 24th, 1999 that caused me to drive to the service. Does this sentence make any difference in your mind? Brown, twice married and divorced, had no family. Services will be held next Saturday at the Angelus Funeral Home on Crenshaw Boulevard. So it's not like there were any family members there to come up and punch me in the face.
No, but friends maybe?
He had no family.
Right.
So was friends? I really infringing upon a private personal moment?
Yes. 100%.
Yep.
You're a dick.
I'm a dick. I didn't go to the funeral. You went to a guy's funeral who you don't know.
We're going to tell you how to win those Green Day tickets that were given away to see the band at the Rose Bowl September 16th in about 5 minutes or so here on K-Rock. But first, Kevin came in very hot today about something that may be a little bit of a delayed reaction because it's about a song that came out in January of 1978. But for some reason, now you want to talk about it.
Well, here's the thing. Bean loves Ray Parker Jr.
I really do.
No sense is made there.
He's
right?
He's a great artist and a brilliant musician.
Sure, whatever. So I'm listening to my iPod, and this song comes up. I'm even surprised it's on my iPod, but it is. It's Jack and Jill.
Because you hate old music. It's unlikely that you even have a song from the 70s on your phone or your iPod.
By Ray Parker. So I started listening to it for a second. I was listening to the words, and I was like, this might be the dumbest song I've ever heard. And then I got more angry because Bean loves him, and I assume loves this song.
I very much love this song.
Do you know the childhood nursery rhyme, Jack and Jill?
Sure.
Went up a hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after.
Right. That's not the song, though.
That's what the song is about.
No, it's not.
Oh, but it is.
I think what Ray is doing here is he's taking those characters from the beloved children's...
from a children's nursery rhyme.
Nursery rhyme. And he is creating a story about them being in love.
Right.
But having problems.
I'm going to play it for you, and we'll talk about it as we go through.
All right.
So here's the beginning of Ray Parker Jr. Yes, I know the song's 40 years old, but I just heard it yesterday and thought of Bean. And this is based around the nursery rhyme Jack and Jill.
Jack, wanting someone to feel.
By By the way, I also love the background singers.
I'm already in.
They just like, they repeat whatever the last word was randomly. I love that type of thing. All right, so Jack's looking for love. Sad up on the hill. So now he's sitting up on the hill.
Come on.
Yeah, this is a real song. How high did it go being on the charts?
Number 8.
Number 8.
Dear.
So this was played a lot in 1947.
77.
Waited all day for Jill. He waited all day for her. Where is she? Jill, always away from home. Now, Jill, why is she always away from home? Jack just needs some sweet loving.
I feel like she's horning it up.
Right?
Right?
Where's Jill? What's she doing? Yeah. Jack's waiting all day long for Jill. That's not cool. Never bothering to phone. She didn't even call. Phone.
How is phone the lyric?
Look, that's
Bean, that's horrible.
That's the one thing I love about this song is the background singers are awesome. But so far, so Jack went up the hill and waited all day.
Okay.
Jill gone, not even calling.
No.
Right? That's BS. Leaving poor Jack alone. That's not cool. Why do you think Jack's not down the hill? He's not down the hill. What? By the way, he didn't sneak.
Snuck? Is that what they said?
Yeah, snuck
down the hill?
Okay. Snuck down the hill.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Jack went down the hill.
Jack fell down.
He went down the hill because he was up there by himself and he was lonely.
Right, but in the nursery rhyme, Jack fell down.
Right, but that's the jumping off point for this story between Jack and Jill, though.
He needed love. He couldn't get from Jill. Jill's a bitch, right? Who's with me?
Do we even know that Jill knows Jack's alive? Maybe Jack's just a psycho up there pining over someone who doesn't even know.
It's very possible because we never at any point in the song see Jack and Jill together.
That's what I'm saying.
Because
Jack's just a psycho up on a hill.
No,
like,
but
Jill
is gone and she won't even call.
Because she doesn't have his number because she doesn't
know
he exists.
She has his number.
She doesn't.
Supposedly they were up on the hill the whole time.
What?
So, making sweet love. That's what he was waiting for.
Where are you getting that from, Kevin?
The song.
There's no sweet love happening here.
Song. I know. That's why Jack's upset and he snuck down the hill.
So, but inferring that they had sex up on the hill. So, he's waiting
for... What do you think is happening if Jack and Jill went up the hill?
It never says she went up the hill.
And then it does in the nursery rhyme.
That's not the song, Kevin.
Oh, you're so bad. Jack, like
Little Red Riding Hood. Oh, God. Now...
Yes, it's bringing in Little Red Riding Hood.
Come on.
Yes. And then they shouted, Hood.
Are the Three Bears coming? Because I am over this. Always trying to do good.
Wait as long as he could. We can only wait so long for Jill, right?
He's just a man. Now we're asking Jill.
See,
what up?
Right, how long do you think you can leave your man alone before he starts whoring around?
He's only human.
Right?
There's nothing in this song to infer that Jill even knows who he is.
Okay, hold on. He went to the top of a mountain waiting for Jill. I assume that means you think he just thinks there's a random person out there that he doesn't know that's going to meet him?
I think Jack's got
some problems. Jack and Jill have been up there.
I don't know.
All right, here we go. Now why do you think
Why'd he sneak?
Yeah, who's he hiding from?
Exactly.
He needed love from Jill is all they tell us.
So why is he sneaking down the hill?
I don't need to sneak.
Maybe he's embarrassed because he went up to the hill and didn't get any, and Jill's gone.
And
I don't know.
People are at the bottom of the hill like, oh, look at him, didn't get any loving.
Didn't get any Jill.
Come on.
This is my favorite part. All right. So the song gets to the part where they do just the bridge or whatever it is, where there's no singing. But the background singers are on it. And they're there. And now they're echoing words that aren't even said.
They're getting paid by the word.
Phone's coming up.
Right? Because I heard this song, I kept getting mad at Bean. because I was just thinking to myself, I was on the 405 and I was driving north and I was like, effing Bean, I guarantee he loves this song.
I love that song. I love that song. I love everything Ray Parker Jr. does.
Love...
And by the way, you won't admit this, but you also love that song.
I don't love that song. I love Ghostbusters.
To it three times yesterday.
I did, but the first time I sort of paid attention to the lyrics. The second time I realized these lyrics are the dumbest lyrics ever. Mm-hmm. And then the third time I was mad at Bean, so now I'm really listening to it closely.
But here's what I'm telling you, is that at some point in the next 2 days, that song is going to start going through your head, and you're going to need to hear it again.
Oh, dear Lord. I sure hope not.
I think we can all agree it's awesome.
Right. That's what we're saying.
All right. Let's open up the phone lines right now for your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. As you know, we are all about the Green Day this week. They're playing the Rose Bowl on September 16th. It's their final date of their U.S. tour this summer. We want you to be there in person and be qualified to see the band in Sydney, Australia. If you know Green Day and their music and their lyrics, we want to hear from you. You're a big Green Day fan, you can call us 1-800-520-1067. And we'll play a game. You can win the tickets next on K-Rock. I'm not going to lie. We've done a lot of really dumb games on this show over the years, but this one may take the game.
Look, I'll say this in our defense. We're bad.
Right.
But wait, that's not our defense. We have to come up with a lot of games.
We do. So we have a lot of stuff on the show.
So
sure.
We try not to repeat, you know, too many, but we're giving away tickets to Green Day. Mm-hmm. So we have a new game for you, and I'm going to let Bean explain it.
Well, it was actually Dave's idea. I want to make sure he gets the credit and the blame for this. Green Day's coming to town September 16th, the Rose Bowl, giving away some tickets right now. So he thought it might be fun because Billy Joe Armstrong writes a lot of the lyrics for Green Day. He thought it might be fun to get some Green Day fans on the phone and see if you could tell whether the lyrics we read are by Billy Joe Armstrong or the great singer-songwriter Billy Joel.
God. So you're going to hear some lyrics and it'll be one or the other.
Right, is it Billy Joe or Billy Joel? Hit it, Steve.
We have tickets to see Green Day. Yeah. If you win, you can take your bet. Is it Billy Joe or Billy Joel? You'll see Green Day at the Rose Bowl. Is it Billy Joe
or Billy Joel?
Is it Billy Joe
or Billy Joel?
Is it Billy Joe
or Billy Joel?
That is what you have to know.
Also quite distasteful that Omar is singing about taking your bay anywhere. But okay, let's give this a try. We have Green Day fans on the line. Hopefully they'll be able to identify the lyrics as a Billy Joel Joe song and not a Billy Joel song, but we'll see.
We can't even keep it straight ourselves.
I know, right?
James in Paramount. Good morning.
Hey, guys.
It's pretty dumb, right, James?
Kind of.
Okay. All right, here's the lyric. You tell me, is this a Billy Joe Armstrong song or a Billy Joel song? This time, you've got nothing to lose. You can take it, you can leave it, whatever you choose. I won't hold anything back, and I'll walk away a fool or a king.
Billy Joel.
Are we going to be able to tell which one they're saying? Say it again.
Spell the last name.
Billy Joel.
Spell the last name.
J-O-E-L.
Yes, that is correct. We can't really understand that.
Yeah, we didn't think about that part. Make it very clear which one you're guessing, if you would, please. Who's next?
Adrian in Mentone.
Hi. What up? Top of the morning.
Top of the morning to you as well.
All right. Adrian is a pipe layer, Allie, if you want to get his number off the air.
That's what I'm talking about, Adrian.
All right. Here's your lyrics. You tell us, is this maybe you say Billy Joe Armstrong, if you want to say Billy Joe. How about that? Or Billy Joel. That way we'll hear. She'll promise you more than the Garden of Eden. Then she'll carelessly cut you and laugh while you're bleeding, but she'll bring out the best and the worst you can be.
That's Armstrong, Billy Joel Armstrong.
No!
Sorry, that's Billy Joel.
She'll
promise you more than the Garden of Eden.
Thank you for playing. So we're 1-1 so far, but we move on.
Inez in Canyon Country. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys. Hi, Allie.
Hi.
Billy Joe or Billy Joel? Here we go.
Hear the sound of the falling rain coming down like an Armageddon flame. A shame the ones who died without a name.
That is a Green Day song, Billy Joel.
Yes,
correct.
It is. Nicely
right,
done.
You are in the drawing to win those tickets for Green Day at the Rose Bowl September 16th. Who's next?
Jeff in Garden Grove. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, guys.
You ready to play?
Is it Billy Joe or Billy Joel?
Let's try.
All right. You've got a nice white dress and a party on your confirmation. You've got a brand new soul and a cross of gold. But Virginia, they didn't give you quite enough information.
Billy Joel?
Yes! We should have just had Allie sing the Billy Joel songs, yes. Right?
Maybe not.
Let's go to Reed and Bellflower. Hi, Reed.
Hi.
Hey, Reed, how have you been doing listening to the other contestants before you?
I'm pretty good. Feeling pretty
okay.
good about it.
All right. All right. Good luck. Here's yours. Billy Joe Armstrong or Billy Joel? Here comes the rain again, falling from the stars, drenched in my pain again, becoming who we are.
Billy Joe Armstrong, Green Day.
Yes.
Nicely done.
Here comes the rain again.
All right. I think we got time for one more, maybe?
All right. Let's go to Brandon in Simi Valley. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thanks. Welcome to Billy Joe or Billy Joel.
Awesome.
All right. Here we go. Good luck. Am I bleeding? Am I bleeding from the storm? Just shine a light into the wreckage. So far away, away.
That is Green Day. That is
yes!
Billy Joel.
Am I bleeding?
Nicely done.
Allie, I'm sorry to disappoint you. There weren't more Billy Joel songs
it's
on the
okay.
list, but our listeners right. did a fantastic job. James got his, Inez, Jeff, Reed, and Brandon all in the drawing to see tickets to get tickets for the Rose Bowl show with Green Day at September 16th and qualify to see them in Sydney, Australia. Who's our winner, please?
Brandon P., Simi Valley.
The last guy we saw. Hey, Brandon, congratulations.
Hell yeah, that's awesome.
You got
Thank
the
you.
Tickets. Thanks for playing the game.
Is it Billy Joe or Billy Joe?
Well, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
We had a phone topic on the show last week about you found out something shocking about your coworker, remember?
Yeah.
And Kevin has just become a fountain. I don't know where all this stuff is coming from, but we found out about Kevin and his movie club.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found out about how Kevin was on Romper Room as a kid.
I mean.
And
I'm not sure everybody heard that story. But
no, we got to get into that at all some right. point. And yesterday, we find out that Kevin ended up on the roof of a house at a party on Friday night.
All right, now let me just ask this question.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All of the other things were surprising. Is that one?
Least surprising.
Oh, least surprising.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Figured, yeah. Is there a story there that you can share with
I mean,
us coming up?
Yeah, because I have a pretty strong thought process that goes into that type
how
of thing.
Does one, how does one go to a party and end up on the roof of the house and then somehow get locked out of the house afterwards?
I
how
mean,
do
it
all
happens.
Those things happen when
it
you're a guest
happen.
At a party?
It doesn't. It happens to everybody once.
When you're 14.
Think about how many parties the rest of us have been to. Maybe not me so much.
Not as many
Chip
as
and,
me.
And Al. That's true. Okay. All right.
That's true.
So maybe just the sheer numbers involved
right.
is eventually this was going to happen
Thank
to you.
Thank you.
Anyway, we want to hear that story coming up right off the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is out today. Allie's in with the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Have you guys ever wondered what it's like to be a personal assistant for a big Hollywood bigwig?
I can't imagine.
I can't either.
We should take calls from personal assistants sometime.
Absolutely.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. Bet some weird stuff goes down. Well, this is a job description on a website targeting personal assistants. And apparently, it's a job description to be Rob Lowe's personal assistant.
Oh. Now, Rob seems like a super nice guy.
Absolutely.
I'd do that.
What?
I'm sorry?
Huh?
What?
You were saying. I'm sorry.
That was you.
I wasn't paying attention.
Okay. Among the requirements... Never assume anything. But, okay.
Is this a motivational speech?
Well, it gets kind of odd.
Okay.
Ensure the client, who we all know is Rob, so when I say client, it will be Rob.
Right.
Ensure the client is fed and has coffee throughout the day. Okay.
All right.
Schedule haircuts every episode for the client.
A new haircut
so
every
episode.
Once a week?
So, yeah, if they're shooting once a week, that's...
He's on... Rob Lowe is currently on the Code Black show.
Okay.
All right.
So
but
he needs...
Wouldn't you think that that would be kind of something that the hair and makeup and department would do?
You think once he goes to the set, they would take care
They would take care of whatever, yeah.
Well, right. Maybe they need to be told.
All right.
All right.
Ensure that the client has a dinner plan if arriving home later than 8 p.m. in the evening.
Has a dinner plan?
So if he gets
so
home...
He doesn't have to think about it when he gets home.
No, as soon as he's home, he's got a steak sitting there or something like that. Okay. Make sure you let estate staff know if the client wants a jacuzzi turned on or a massage ordered.
Okay.
It's good to be Rob Lowe.
No
kidding. That's what I'm saying. Willing to travel on location as requested and serve as the client's body man. What's a body man?
What's a body man?
I mean, I'm in. I don't even need clarification, but body man.
Huh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like the character of Tony Hale on Veep, sort of.
Maybe,
like, where you're just
like
with him at all
times.
Yeah, right-hand guy. Okay. You're with him wherever he goes. You have stuff. You have chapstick in case he needs it.
Good point, Kevin.
That's a Veep reference.
Okay. here's the one that I kind of went, what's happening, Rob? Be able to lift up to 25 pounds as required to support the client.
25 pounds.
Are those like his bags, or does he have a dog that needs to be moved? Or does Rob just need you to lift his legs at certain points? What is happening? Why 25 pounds?
I can only guess he wants to make sure the person is healthy enough to be able to lift things when needed.
Okay.
Like, he doesn't want to hire somebody and then find out that they have, you know, they have struggles with lifting luggage.
I would think luggage would be probably the leading candidate.
Look, Rob Lowe was Sam Seaborn on The West Wing, for God's sakes. He gets anything he wants in my book.
I'm saying. It pays $70,000 plus benefits. $70,000 to hang out with Rob Lowe?
And by the way,
quit.
I'm sure there's a lot of work involved.
I'm sure.
I'm sure the hours are long when you're working for a guy as busy as Rob Lowe is.
Right.
And I'm sure there's a lot of traveling involved. But I feel like that's a pretty good job.
Right?
I think that's all right.
You guys, Rob wants a jacuzzi. Turn the jacuzzi on. What a life.
That's crazy.
Right?
Yep. Allie, we will understand completely if you leave us to take the Rob Lowe assistant job.
I'm saying.
I would suggest, however, that you get that one first before you quit this one. It's all on you.
I mean, what kind of dad advice is that?
He was the grinder. He was the grinder, Allie.
Yeah, he was.
Right?
Yeah. We learned over the weekend that Peter Capaldi was leaving his role of Doctor Who. A lot of people bummed. However, London bookmakers, not so bummed, because people are betting a lot of money. Former James Bond actor Ben Whishaw, who played the tech genius Q in the movie Skyfall, is now.
I could see that.
Yeah, he's the odds on favorite. That's according to London bookmakers.
I could see that too.
Being played by a woman, 6-1 odds. Lady Gaga! I don't think she's in the running.
And that's any woman, that's not just a person.
20-1 odds, Bean, you listening?
I am.
On either Olivia Colman.
Oh.
He loves her.
I love her so much.
She
would be great.
Right?
You would recognize her. She's one of the stars of The Night Manager, among other things.
Oh, I did love that show.
Yeah.
Fleabag. You should watch it. 20-1 odds on either Olivia Colman or Billy Piper, who played the Doctor's Companion in 2005 as the main character. So, 20-1 odds. Put him on Olivia.
All right.
Bean. Make a call.
Bean is a gambler.
He loves gambling.
Yeah. And I'm very successful when I do.
Right.
My last bet was on the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl, so I am gold.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you were gold up until the last, minute.
Up until the last three seconds this year.
I mean two weeks ago.
Oh, 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Sweet
so
spirit.
I'm still making bad choices.
Oh, that's very sad.
That's a shame.
Hey, remember when Ozzy Osbourne decided I'm going to go to rehab because I'm a sex addict?
Yes.
He went to intense therapy after parting ways with Sharon. They've since reconciled. Well, now he's backtracking. He revealed to the Times of London that he's not a sex addict. Quote, I was just in an effing band. There's always groupies. I just got caught. What?
Interesting.
What?
Is that what he needs to say for Sharon?
No, I don't think so.
Does he know Sharon?
Does he know that she reads?
Hmm.
That she'll find this out? I was just in an effing band. There's always been groupies, and I just got caught. Oh.
I'm not sure that's a defense that plays with the wife.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Hey, you guys, some birthdays today. February 1st, actor Pauly Shore is 49. Weezer drummer Patrick Wilson is 48. UFC fighter Ronda Rousey is 30. Outkast rapper Big Boy is 42, and singer Harry Styles is 23. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
It is a Super Bowl week, by the way. Yesterday, we had Rich Eisen on from the NFL Network. Today, we talked to Brandon Marshall of the New York Jets. He's going to be joining us next hour, talking about all the festivities going down there in Houston. Any part of you, Kevin, sad that you're not there in Houston for the Super Bowl?
You know, I have FOMO. I have FOMO.
You do.
Fear of missing out. That's a big thing with me. So I really, really would like to be there. And then I go, yeah, but Houston.
A lot of parties going on.
So I'm good.
Here's the thing about Kevin. And I can't imagine what it would be like to live my life like Kevin, because I am the opposite. I'm, I've been accused of being a little bit Asperger-y. I have a schedule, and I have a system.
A
and
little
I,
bit.
And I do things at the same time every day and every week, and that's how I'm comfortable. Like, I know I'm having chocolate milk at 9 a.m. I know I'm going to have a sensible low-fat dinner at 5. I know I'll be in bed by 8. I mean, I've got
sensible,
my day.
Sensible low-fat dinner.
I've got my day planned out. But when you wake up in the morning, and do you ever think about this, Allie? If you wake up in the morning and you're Kevin, you don't know if you're going to, at the end of the day, you're going to be in jail or you're going to be in Puerto Rico. Like, you have no idea where your life is going to be.
It's so much more exciting.
It is. I was thinking about that. I heard your ad for, like, your plans this Friday night, right, with the listeners. And I heard this ad, and I thought, this is so Kevin.
Hey, party people, this Friday night, it's K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel.
Now, this is a guy who knows how to party.
Kevin and Bean Show. Come join me.
Me, Dave, the King of Mexico.
Oh, Dave, too?
Lightning, DJ Omar Khan, and me, Beer Mug.
Play some poker and blackjack this Friday night.
So that's just one example of an event that I probably would never be a part of, but Kevin is already in the spirit of Friday Night at the Bike.
Because it's a great time. I feel like you slowed that down.
No!
I've heard that on the air.
I feel like that was like half speed
nope,
to make
that commercial running.
Sound. No. That came right off the air. All right, so that's this coming Friday night. What about last Friday night, Kevin?
Well, last Friday night I went to a party for some friends, but the house was their parents' house. So it wasn't my friend's house, it was their parents' house. So we go to the party. I don't know a tremendous amount of people. So I hang out with some of the guys I know. There's usually one guy that I hang out with, and we figure out they were passing around food, hors d'oeuvres or whatever, and we figure out the path that they take coming out of the kitchen. So we position ourselves right in front of that so that we're first for every, you know, platter that comes out. That's the important thing to us. So we eat, and now we're, a little bored. A little. I get bored pretty quickly. So my friend says to me, he says, hey, you should go back because you can get up on the roof and there's a pretty cool balcony up there that you can sort of look over the city and it's beautiful. So I said, oh, that sounds cool. I'm going to do that. Because my friend had already done it. So I went by myself. So I walked to the back door. And again, I don't know the house. I'm not familiar with the layout or anything, but the back.
So wait, hold on. I'm sorry. Let me pause for one second.
Yes, Bean.
You're in a friend's parents' house.
Yes.
And you're just wandering around by yourself upstairs?
Well, not upstairs. Outside and then up on the roof.
Okay. It seems a little bit random. I just feel like in somebody else's house, there are rooms that are kind of open to the public, that are available to the partygoers. And usually you don't just kind of go rogue in a situation like that.
Right.
You just go wandering.
I mean, the back door was locked, if that's what you're saying.
All right.
But my friend had already been up there and said it's pretty cool view.
All right. Well, as long as somebody told you to do it.
So then I thought, okay, cool. So I walk out and I run into the glass door because I think it's open. And I try to open it and walk through it in one motion. And that doesn't happen when it's locked. So I unlocked it and I walked out. And, I mean, there's I wouldn't say it's a ladder or steps. I would say it's ladder-esque. It's a pretty easy climb to get up on the roof.
But you're climbing onto the guy's parents' roof now.
Yeah, because it's a beautiful view, Bean.
Sure.
You know me, I'm all about beautiful views.
You love beautiful views, taking pictures, Instagram, and the hell out of it.
Right? So I go up on the roof, and it's beautiful, and I love it, and it's peaceful, and I'm having a good time. And then I think, well, you know, maybe I should get back.
Yeah.
Maybe my wife will miss me. She was there, too. Okay, so so I climb back down, and then I go to walk in the back door, and it's locked again. The door is locked. And so now I think, okay,
I guess I live on a balcony now.
I'm not technically supposed to be out here, so how do I? So then I sort of did the army crawl across so they wouldn't see me, and then I went to the gate on the left side of the house, and it had a bunch of plants and stuff growing on, and I was like, last case scenario, maybe I can make it over that fence.
Oh, my God. You're a grown man.
Dress shirt, pants,
sure.
Shoes. So then I marine crawl across to the other gate, and I think, well, that gate, same thing. It's closed. It looks like it's been closed for a long time. A lot of plants on it, so maybe I have to climb over that. So I don't know what to do.
So you're down off of the roof now into the backyard?
And I'm trying to break into the house.
You're trying to break into the house.
Did I say break in? Get into the house.
Okay.
Right.
Where the party is being held. And so there's two gates that are locked, and there's a back door that's locked.
So well, I guess I live in the backyard
what
now.
What do you do? I mean, honestly.
So you use your cell phone and call somebody to come let you in?
Never occurred to me.
Well, I mean, that's your,
didn't
that's
think
your
of it once.
Communication device to the yeah. outside world.
Took pictures from the balcony.
Sure.
So I had the phone in
had
your
the
hand
phone with
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Cropped it, filtered it, everything.
Yep. Didn't quite think of that. So.
Oh, my God.
So now,
I hope there's an alligator in this story
so
somewhere.
So now I'm standing outside the house by the back door, which is uh-huh. a glass sliding door so right. everybody can sort of see out. Now, the real problem is I didn't know most of the people there.
Sure.
So yeah. it's not like I could just stand outside the door and knock on
right.
it.
And hope somebody recognizes yes. you and lets you in because you look like a homeless man who just jumped a fence to get into their backyard.
Yes, and if they don't know who I am, they're not opening the door.
I
of course.
Know.
Yeah. So now I crouch. Oh. And I'm just watching, like, just barely sticking my left eye around the corner so that I could see through the door. And, of course, I was thinking, first of all, if they have, like, cameras in the back, I'm screwed.
How is this? How did this turn? You went to a party. How does this turn into a SEAL Team 6 mission? What's happening?
I told you. I went on the roof. It was great. Then the house is locked up.
It's not your fault.
Right?
Right.
How rude of them.
They're dicks, right?
I agree.
So now I'm peeking around. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting. I don't know that person. No, I don't know that person. No, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe I got to jump one of these fences. I mean, I can, but I'm going to come in with some stains.
not the first Friday night that's ended that way.
Which also wouldn't be a first. So I waited. And it was probably, and it was cold Friday night.
Okay.
So maybe I waited watching for... you know, 8 or 9 to 10 minutes. It felt uh-huh. like a half hour, but sure. it was probably 8 to 10 minutes.
And your poor wife is in there. She doesn't know very many
she
people.
She doesn't know anything about
either.
It. She's talking with people. She's fine.
Oh, she is. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. She's fine. I don't
so at no point does she go, I wonder where my husband disappeared to.
No. And second of all, that would not be the first time she thought that. So she
I wonder if he's on the roof.
I bet Kev Dog got locked out of the house somehow.
There was a balcony up there that's made right. for the chairs. It's
sure.
made for people to look at the view.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, to me, that means they want you to enjoy it.
Okay. Sure. All right. So what do you do?
So 10 minutes go by and I wait. 10 minutes go by and I wait. And then finally I see somebody that I know. And so I jump up outside the glass door and I sort of wave like this, like a really fast wave. Didn't see me.
No.
Kept on walking, got right back down into my little position and waited for the next person. Yeah.
And you're just at this point, you're thinking, how long am I going to be on the yard trying to get back in?
I mean, yeah, I was because I was getting really cold.
Sure.
Right.
But I wasn't really upset or anything because this, you know, this is not a big deal.
Have any snacks in your pocket?
Maybe. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, I had a couple.
Wait, did you really?
Got a couple cookies in my pocket, yeah.
All right, so you're right. set. You right. got sustenance.
So I can spend the night if I need to.
Right.
So finally, my friend who...
You curl up and fall asleep under a palm tree.
Right, so finally
totally
my friend
kidding.
Who... I know you were, but that reminded me. So finally my friend that told me that it was out there, he comes walking by the door. So now I jump up and I knock on
right.
the glass door. And he sees me and he just starts laughing.
I would have kept walking.
Right, me too. He opens the door and I come in and I say, you tell me the truth. You lock that door. Because if you lock that door, that's a win for you.
Right.
Like, that's the best thing. No, no, I wouldn't have locked the door. I was like, come on, tell me the truth. He didn't lock it. It must have been either he's lying to me or it must have been some help or somebody went,
yeah.
oh, the back door's open. We should close it and lock it.
Or a self-locking door, maybe.
Is that a thing?
Sure.
A
you close it and it just locks.
Oh.
Yeah, an automatic lock.
I figured it was him because that's best case scenario. Like, what a burn. He
yeah.
tells me to go outside and go up on the roof and then locks me out. But that didn't happen. So I got it and it was all good. No problems. It's all good.
You see that? You see how white people do?
Right?
Wednesday means the wheel oh bad animal voices, and we're not going to let Ralph Garman being out today stop us from spinning that wheel coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on K-Rock. And we'll talk to actor Cal Penn from Designated Survivor just after 8. By the way, doesn't it seem like that show's been off the air for like 3 months?
I love that show.
Where the hell's Designated
been
Survivor
while, yeah.
been?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all coming up in the next few minutes here on K-Rock. First, though, got to talk about Super Bowl weekend coming up. I got to give Heinz some credit. They do not have a commercial in this year's Super Bowl, but they are getting a lot of talk this week because of an online petition they have started to give all of us Monday off the day after the Super Bowl.
I'm in.
Let's think about that for a second.
It I don't is need a second.
It's a tough day after a long day of sitting on your butt, eating dip, and right? watching football. It's hard to get up and go to work the next day. So they got a petition. We'll tell you about that, but let's listen to a little bit of their reasoning behind this and see what you think about it.
For the past 50 years, the greatest day on Earth has been followed immediately by the worst day on Earth. You know what I'm talking about. That Sunday. Glorious Sunday, the greatest football day of the year. We eat, we drink, and we be merry. We do it knowing that we're all just going to accept that the very next day is the worst day of the year. Shame on us. Not to mention that annually productivity drops and the country loses on average $1 billion. Over 16 million people call in sick or do not show up. But for those who do go in...
Was he crying or vomiting there?
I'm not positive, but 16 million people call in sick.
On Super Bowl Monday.
Wow. Yes.
Did you know it was that much?
No
that,
way.
I still don't know that it's that much.
Well, that's what they said. I just heard it.
Well,
and it's also in an article I'm reading.
Right, but you can make up
that
numbers.
That I found on the internet.
Does it seem likely to you guys that 16 million people call in sick after
it
the Super Bowl?
It seems high.
It does, but it does we do live high. In a nation of 300 million.
Right.
So
seems
don't know
low.
And they say it cost the country $1 billion in lost production. I don't know where they're getting that number either.
Yeah.
I don't either. All right, so here's what Heinz has done. And Heinz, by the way, not only makes the ketchup, but they make Oscar Mayer hot dogs and Velveeta cheese. So they really are a great, great company. So I'm predisposed to side with them on this. They have they put an online petition, because that's the way things get done in this country, to create a new national holiday, which extends Sunday's Super Bowl into Monday.
Okay.
And the name of that holiday is Smonday.
I'm out.
Yeah, it's super.
Come on.
It's a Sunday Super Bowl into Monday, so they call it Smonday.
Monday.
Now, I'm not positive that that's the name that's going to work.
Mm-mm.
If the petition gets over 100,000 signatures, Heinz will send it to Congress. As of Thursday, this is last Thursday, it had about 5,000 backers, but this obviously, this article is outdated. I don't know what they're up to today, but I'm sure it's quite a bit more than that. So,
how great would that be?
Can you imagine? There's no way in a million years that happens, but I don't blame them for trying. You know, it's not.
Is there no way in a million years?
There's no way in a million years.
Really?
Well, you know how, I mean, think about the kinds of holidays we have in this country. They're not so people can recover from hangovers. They're to celebrate events that happen in history or famous people's birthdays or, you know, Memorial Day, Labor Day, things like that. It just doesn't seem like this is kind of – this meets the standard of a national holiday.
I understand what you're saying, but then think of 16 million people calling in sick and $1 billion worth of production being lost already. So now it's a financial situation.
And I will say this also for Heinz, by the way, in their defense, even if you just, you know, you poo-poo this as them just looking for a clever way to get some attention the week of the Super Bowl without spending any money, they are backing it up by giving all of their employees the day off. So they are putting their money where their mouth is and actually being closed the day after the Super Bowl. So, I mean, they seem serious about it, and at least in that respect, I think.
I like to talk to business owners who could actually do that. Because you could, company by company, you could just make that a deal.
Anyone doesn't have to
be a federal holiday. You could just say, for our company, you get Monday off. I think that would go a long way toward goodwill, right?
I do too, but I also think, and this is unfortunate, and it's not anyone's fault, it's just where the Super Bowl falls on the calendar. I think there are a lot of businesses who are there to make money, and every day that they're closed, they're not making money. They've already gone through Martin Luther King Day, and they've got President's Day coming up. And maybe it's hard for them to say, come on, you know, when is this going to end? Another day off? You know what I mean? In this short period of time? I think that might put some people off of making that decision as well. Look.
Well, that's a shame, because I think it's a good idea. And I feel like that we should start it here.
Okay.
Like, if we all band together.
Okay.
And we stay home on that Monday.
Sure.
Then what happens? They go, oh, hey, you guys are supposed to be here. We go, oh, really? We thought we had the day off. That would work.
You think that'll work?
The way you say it, yeah.
We're sorry. We totally thought that we saw Heinz was giving people the day off. We figured it was a thing.
What about...
Who's with me?
What? Look,
we all got to be together on this,
Yeah,
Bean.
We do. One of us can't show up.
Right. Bean. It's unity. If one person shows up, the rest of us are screwed.
It's too late for this year.
Is
it's not.
But the rest of my sentence is, what about moving the Super Bowl to Saturday? Doesn't that make sense? Because most people have Sunday off already. It gives you the rest of the weekend to recover so that you can go to work on Monday.
Yeah, I feel like the Super Bowl gets the best ratings on Sunday, so they wouldn't dare move it.
Yeah, I mean, it is certainly history and tradition certainly has it on Sunday. But, I mean, if the problem is so widespread that we lose $1 billion in this country because of lost productivity, I mean, there would be something to be said for moving it to Saturday.
I would argue that the productivity of people who do show up on that Monday is pretty low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
even
yeah.
if they show up, they're not necessarily cranking through work.
They're hungover, they're full of dip, and they just want to talk about the game.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I have heard all the arguments, and it sounds to me like Kevin's makes the most sense, and
Thank you.
Off on Monday.
Yeah!
A couple of quick updates on our conversation about Heinz giving its employees off and encouraging other employees to do the same for the day after the Super Bowl. Their holiday called, well, unfortunately, it's called Smonday. But we heard from Mike in Woodland Hills. He works in the insurance business, and he says that the boss in their office gave the employees a choice about whether they wanted President's Day or the day after the Super Bowl off, and majority would win.
I thought President's Day was a national...
It is,
can you do that?
Apparently, I don't know. Mike did. Mike says his boss did it though, and they chose the day after the Super Bowl, so they got Monday off, which I'm sure is going to feel great this Monday. I don't know how great it's going to feel when they go into work on a national holiday in a couple weeks, but at least that was somebody recognizing the Smonday problem.
I had somebody that tweeted we should also do this for St. Patrick's Day, and I figured maybe one at a time. Let's go one at a time here.
Yeah,
we're going to get both.
Let's take care of the Super Bowl first, and then we'll start working on March
18th. Especially because it's not on the same day every year. Super Bowl is always a Sunday.
Agreed.
Right. Good point.
All right. You know, it's Wednesday, and that means it's the time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Yeah, it is.
Like we do. We put all of these stories on the wheel. They're all real stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then we follow up on one of them, depending on what the wheel lands on.
Okay.
The first one is the Flock Stars, the all-chicken band that is awesome.
Now, Allie, you've been very excited for that story.
I need it.
You really want to talk to those chickens.
Especially since we took the pig with the penis on his head off the wheel.
Yeah, true.
I need this.
All right, Flock Stars.
Hercules, the dog from A Dog's Purpose.
Oh.
Is that the dog that they tried to drown in the movie?
Dog's fine.
That's
dog
sad.
Is fine.
Dog's good.
All right.
The baby raccoon practicing scales on a piano.
Come on.
The Rastafarian dogs who prefer reggae instead of rock.
Yeah.
Because we know most dogs prefer rock.
I have heard that, yes.
The tortoise used as a soccer ball by an elephant.
Oh, come on.
That is terrible.
That's not good.
He's fine.
Are you sure?
No, I'm just making that up to make people feel better. And Sonny, the red panda, missing from the zoo in Virginia.
Yeah. Oh, I heard about that. I'd love to know what he's been up to since he escaped from his zoo. Yeah.
All right. So those are the stories.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, let's spin that wheel. Anything but Hercules is what I'm saying. Anything but Hercules from the Dog's Purpose movie.
And it lands on Hercules.
Yes. Oh, come on!
Yeah. The unfortunate dog from a Dog's Purpose.
Come on!
Yeah. What are the chances?
This is terrible.
Oh,
all right.
Terrible.
For folks who don't know the story, the film that is currently number 2 in America at the box office, by the way, was met with controversy just days before it opened when a video posted by TMZ.com showed a German Shepherd who was terrified of doing a stunt where he was supposed to jump into a raging river. It was on a soundstage. It was a fake river. But he didn't want to do the trick at all. And they ended up, the video showed that they ended up pushing him into the water. And then moments later, he went under the water and divers had to go in. They had to stop the shoot and the divers had to go in and pull the dog out. And he was fine. And apparently, by the way, sometime after that, was happy to do the trick from another side of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
But the video did not make anyone feel good about A Dog's Purpose. Allie, you're a perfect example of somebody who was dying to go see that movie. And then you just couldn't get that image out of your mind of poor Hercules, right?
I mean, Hercules lived, though. I mean,
he's
Hercules.
Fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's fine. And by the way, lots of people worked on the movie, including Dennis Quaid, the star of the film. He's on record saying, look, I worked on that movie for a year. There was never any abuse of an animal. I would have walked if that happened. The animals were treated great. So apparently, I mean, it's a complicated story, but visuals matter. And when you see that poor little dog, it does make you worry and wonder. So
Believe it or not, we asked Dave if there's any way we can get somebody from A Dog's Purpose on the phone to talk about it. And I'm not sure who we have on the line, but let's find out. Let's go now. Hello there.
Hi, Kevin Bean. How you guys doing?
Are you Hercules?
Yeah, guys, this is Hercules.
Oh, you sound so good. You sound happy and energetic. That's good.
Yeah, I don't know what everybody's talking about. I have been treated very well here on a set of A Dog's Purpose.
Well, we saw that video, and it looked like you did not want to go in the water.
I think people are getting the wrong message. See, I had rehearsed the scene from the left side of the pool all day, and then all of a sudden they changed it up on me. And
okay.
I wasn't comfortable doing it from the right, but everything was great. They weren't forcing me under the water. I happened to go under the water, but there was people there to make sure that I didn't drown. Everything's great here. I'm right now I'm on a set of A Dog's Purpose 2. We're about to shoot.
Oh, they're doing a sequel already.
Yeah, I'm in my trailer. Hercules! Oh, I gotta go now. We're filming the scene. Okay, I'm right here.
That guy sounds mean, Hercules.
No, that's the director, Omar.
Why is he yelling at you, though?
I mean, get in the water. I don't know. I rehearsed it from the left side. This is the right.
Get in the water, you bitch.
Come on.
What? What?
Hercules.
What?
All right, I'm in.
All right, cut.
Okay, we get it. All right, good. Yeah, but they're treating me great here. I don't know what the whole hubbub is about.
It sounds like they're treating you great with that whip.
Yeah. So
it's all good. All right, good.
What scene is this?
Oh, you got to get it. You got to dance.
Okay.
He has to what?
Well, I don't know how to dance that well.
Why do you have to dance?
I didn't rehearse this.
What?
Shooting in his feet.
Yeah, that's how they get me to dance around here.
I see. Okay. No. That seems bad.
No, this is great. Like I said, A Dog's Purpose 2.
Hercules!
Yeah, yes, boss.
Oh, no.
All right, we got another scene to shoot.
Wait.
I want you to run across this freeway and fix that ball.
Oh, not a freeway. Oh, no. It's a freeway.
Shoot the car.
That's the worst idea ever. Hercules, be careful. No.
I should get into dog food commercials.
Hey!
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
Nope. A lot of people on Twitter, by the way, are acting like they've never been on a roof at a party. Right?
It's just you somehow?
Right? I mean,
now you're the
now.
Weirdo?
Come on now. Let's be honest. This Friday night, we are having Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Casino. How about that?
Yeah.
We're going to do it at 9 p.m. It's a great time.
Why are ladies not invited?
Ladies are invited. Girls are invited as well.
It's 2017.
It's not the best name for
the... Not so inclusive.
Because girls are very much included. So you can come if you'd like, sure.
Oh, okay.
It's 9 p.m. at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. Right now we're going to give away a seat at Dave the King of Mexico's table.
Oh.
Now Dave doesn't know a tremendous amount about poker. And I think, if I remember correctly, last time he was getting tired near the end of the night mm-hmm. after they shut down DJ Omar Khan. It was like 1 a.m. and there was like eight of us there still playing poker. And he wanted to go home, so he just pushed all his chips in. And he won.
Oh.
And then he's like, I got to go. So then he pushed all of those chips in and he won. It was ridiculous.
So he won the whole thing?
No, you don't win the whole thing. I mean, this is it's a cash game, so you win whatever you win, and then you go home. But he did really well accidentally. But if you want to see it at his table, where he may do something like that, and you can cash in, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. You have to be at least 21 or over. It's Friday night, 9 p.m., Bicycle Hotel and Casino. You also get a rack of chips for $200. So you're not playing with your own money.
Wow.
So call now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 will join us all Friday night at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. We're going to have a great time. And you can also register to show up. If you don't win these tickets, you can register at thebike.com.
That's a good deal. Our friend Cal Penn, love him. Harold and Kumar, House, the new designated survivor. He's going to be joining us back on the Kevin Bean Show just after 8. First, though, in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Allie.
You guys ready for some new Depeche Mode?
Yes, I am.
Me too.
You know, they've been around for like 30 years, and they're still great.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think even long, right?
Maybe so,
81,
yeah.
81 maybe longer. Yeah. Oh, so good. All right, you guys, we have a release date for their new album, Spirit. It'll be released on March 17th. But guess what? New music this Friday. Their lead single, I know, Rodney, Where's the Revolution, will be arriving this Friday.
Very exciting. Did you hear the snippet online? There's a little piece of it?
No.
Like 30 seconds? You didn't hear it?
I didn't. No, I just saw this story today. hateful.
I like orange juice. Thank you.
It's different.
Grape juice? No.
Is this Dave Gahan?
Tomato juice?
Dave?
No.
Martin Gore's writing weird songs.
Carrot juice? No.
Eat it.
Orange juice.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Orange juice.
That's not it?
Yes. You're listening to that.
You are listening to that.
You are, Rodney.
Thank you, Rodney.
That is very true. The group will follow up the release of the LP with a 32-date European Global Spirit Tour, which begins on May 5th. No word yet on a U.S. tour, but proceeds from the tour will raise money for Charity Water, which is nice. You may be saying to yourself, well, what about some videos? When can I see some videos? On November 11th, Depeche Mode will also release Video Singles Collection. That's a retrospective compiling all of their videography from 1981 to 2013.
All right.
Boy, there's some great music there.
Right,
there
Rodney?
Really is some great music there. Did you guys see their last tour when they were at Staples Center? And then they did the K-Rock show at the Troubadour like 5-6 years ago?
I don't think I did.
I will say this.
It's funny. You would think I would remember.
You would think.
You would say this.
I will say this. They look amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
they
look
amazing.
And sound as good as they did 80s, 90s, early 2000s.
Yep. That's very true.
They're my favorite. All right, you guys. Kanye West, we haven't seen much of him since he canceled his tour. And I think the only real outing we've seen is when he went to Trump Towers to talk with Trump, right?
Right.
Well, now word is Kanye West is planning to show his Yeezy Season 5 collection in New York City later this month during Fashion Week on February 15th, which is very interesting because do you remember his last fashion show over the summer?
Didn't he have a bunch of models that fainted because they were standing out in the
heat? A lot of problems.
They were standing outside. They were getting super dehydrated. And then the ones that weren't fainting, their footwear was getting caught in the grass, so they were falling.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And also, nobody likes any of his clothes.
Well, it's just sweatpants with holes in it.
Right.
So, not really sure.
But, Pete, I will say that the shoes do sell out like crazy.
Oh, and then go on eBay for hundreds more.
They do.
It's absolutely insane. But if you want to check out the new line, apparently, scheduled second to last day of Fashion Week on February the 15th. And congratulations to Pharrell Williams and his wife, Helen. They just welcomed triplets.
Oh no.
Triplets.
Why is that congratulations? Why is that not sympathies? Doesn't anyone watch This Is Us?
Oh my God.
Don't you know what happens when you have three of them?
That's insane, right?
Yes.
They already have an 8-year-old son together named Rocket Ayer.
Okay.
No word yet on the triplets' names, but I'm thinking if their other child is Rocket, it's not going to be like Steve.
Yeah,
true.
This is going to be colorful, that's for sure.
Cannot wait for that. But oh my goodness.
Look, here's the thing, and Kevin, please weigh in on this as somebody who raised twins. Here's the thing that I'll tell you about having too many dogs, because I've done that before.
Very similar. Can't wait.
It is similar.
No.
It's not the same,
really not
but it's similar. No, it's similar.
All right, go ahead.
Having a dog is having a dog. Having two dogs is having four dogs. Having three dogs is having 11 dogs. That's about the formula. And I assume it is even worse than that when you're talking about babies.
Yeah, I had twins, and just the idea that one of them just fell asleep and then the other one wakes them up is pretty rough. It's a tough first year.
Yeah.
He probably will leave the country for about a year.
Is that that's allowed?
That's what I did.
Wife's okay with that?
Looks like I got to go on tour.
Sorry about that. But you don't tour. I know. I'm going to start. It's rough. It's a lot of work that first year. But they have money, so I assume they can get help. If you get help, then it's not quite as bad.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That's the difference. It's hard for just two people to keep three little ones alive.
When they told me, all they said to us was very pregnant. And I said in a panic, what does that mean? And they said, probably more than one. I said, well, what does that mean?
Could it be probably?
They don't know for a little while until they can check.
So it could be one or it could be 100. Probably not 100.
Probably not 100.
But it could be two or three, and you don't know for a while. And then
or
finally,
four.
Finally, when they say, you know, two, I was thrilled.
Yeah, you were relieved. That was best case scenario
for
multiples.
The best thing that ever happened to me.
They know before they can do the ultrasound that it's more than one. They just can't tell you until they do the ultrasound.
Yes, they say the words, you're very pregnant.
I didn't know that.
Yes, it's frightening.
That's terrifying.
It is frightening.
Oh, my God.
And I saw Dr. Drew's triplets when he was in Hawaii. We were there at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And I walked up to him and I was like, dude, I am so sorry for you.
Wow.
That is going to be rough. Because they were two and they were running every which way, not afraid of anything.
Oh, my goodness.
So. Well, I'm glad Pharrell has already written his song Happy, because he's not likely to write another one like it.
You never know.
It's going to be Sleepy. That's going to be his next one.
I'm just happy my ovaries are dust. Who's with me, ladies? Give us a call right now. 1-800.
I don't think we need a call if you're happy that your ovaries are dust. I'm not sure that's needed.
Hey, you guys. All of these people are celebrating their birthday today. Pauly Shore, 49. Patrick Wilson, Weezer drummer, is 48. Outkast rapper Big Boy is 42. Actor Michael C. Hall is 46. Ronda Rousey is 30. And singer Harry Styles is 23. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, welcome to Showbiz Beat.
Keep listening between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. all week this week, because it's K-Rock's Wheels Up 2017 destination number one, which is Green Day in Sydney, Australia.
That would be the trip of all time.
Okay, thank you.
I'm co-signing that and saying that's a good thing. You should try to win that.
It's not going
to
be a normal thing where we tell you when to call. It's just whenever you hear a Green Day song between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on the world-famous K-Rock, you automatically win tickets to see them at the Rose Bowl September 16th, and then you're in the drawing to see them in Australia.
Brandon Marshall from the New York Jets is going to join us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is in Houston doing some coverage on the Super Bowl for AT&T, so we'll catch up with him. First, though, our old friend Cal Penn is on the phone. We love Cal. We've been having him on the show for years, and he is in the news a lot right now. He is the White House press secretary on ABC's Designated Survivor, which comes back on March 8th. And he also is the real-life former White House associate director of public engagement. And I bet the last thing he expected would be that everybody in the world would want to talk to him this week when he just put out a tweet. But, Cal, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Thanks, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me back.
We're very good.
It is our pleasure. All right. So you, like many Americans, were kind of surprised to see the way the travel ban unfolded from President Trump on Friday. And you went online and shared a story about a friend of yours. Can you tell us about that and then pick up what happened next, Cal?
Yeah, sure. So I woke up Saturday morning and I had a text from a buddy in L.A. Whose coworker and good friend is an Iraqi refugee. And he sent me a text that said, you know, his homie's dad was trying to get on the plane to visit in L.A. And on his layover in Qatar, I guess during his layover was when Trump signed the ban, and he wasn't allowed onto his flight to see his son and grandkids in L.A. And he's like, can you believe this? I'm like, you know, this is so un-American. Like, this is just not cool. This is not who we are. So I tweeted a screenshot after I asked him if it was okay. And I tweeted a screenshot of that text that I got. And some hater on Instagram said basically, you know, well, you don't belong in America anyway.
Yeah.
A little more colorful than that.
Sure.
And when you see something like that, and look, people who look like you, Cal, have grown up with that from a certain number of people, and it's only been amplified with the rise of social media. But normally I would imagine you would see something like that and just go, well, the guy's an idiot, and ignore it. But it seemed to really get in your craw.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you're right, but B, I mean, you guys have a huge Twitter, Instagram following. Also, like, you know, you see things like this all the time. It's not new. Like,
absolutely,
you know, there are dumbasses everywhere.
Yep.
But you sort of just ignore it, and for some reason, I think it was the combination of the fact that now you've got Trump administration officials talking like this guy and who belongs here and who doesn't belong here, and I just thought, like, I feel like most of us disagree with this. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican is irrelevant in this conversation. There are so many young evangelicals and conservatives who have also been standing up against this ban. And so I was like, maybe we can turn this into something good. So I went to the International Rescue Committee. Does a lot of work with refugees, and they have a relationship with a fundraising site called CrowdRise. And so I just was like, maybe we can raise $2,500. So I put together this. It takes like 90 seconds on CrowdRise. Put together this little campaign, and then I just screenshotted what the guy said and tweeted it out, and I said...
And you put it in his name, right?
Well, yeah. I blurted his name out, too. Right? People know your name, because that's irrelevant, too.
Right.
But, like, of all the guys like this, I feel like in your name, we can come together with love and support for the world's most vulnerable people and also stand up for the country we love. I mean, I love the fact that America is a beacon of hope for people around the world. And so, anyway, the next thing you know, I set the goal for $2,500.
Yeah, don't you think you were shooting a little low?
I don't know, man. I don't have millions and millions of Twitter followers.
Okay? Right.
So I was just thinking, like, $2,500 is a decent amount of money for some silly tweet. And within 20 minutes, it was up to, like, $2,500 and then $5,000 and then, you know, kind of kept raising it. And then the next thing you know, it just takes off, which has literally nothing to do with me and everything to do with the fact that so many people felt the same way and said, yeah, let's show some love to these people who are being, you know, prevented from coming into the country in our names when we would want to welcome them. And now it's up to like $800,000. Thank you.
$800,000. Let's go to Dave, the King of Mexico. I think Dave, the King of Mexico, has the tally as of right this
okay.
second.
Dave, let's find out.
Dave, how much?
We are at 810,975.
Unbelievable. Whoa. Almost $811,000 as of right now. Now, you mentioned this this fundraising organization, CrowdRise. Where's the money go, Cal?
So money goes to the International Rescue Committee, and they are linked on the page. So if you want to see what they do before you donate, for folks who are interested, you can read up on them also. They're a pretty reputable organization that works with refugees, and they actually were recommended by some friends who worked in the humanitarian space for the last administration, you know, folks who worked at the UN and the National Security Council. It's like, what's a good organization that's actually doing good work? And there are many, of course, but this was one.
I got to tell you, there are a lot of people who get super bummed if things don't go the way they want them to politically, and then they get scared because they're afraid the political leader, in this case Donald Trump, is promoting, you know, hate speech or whatever. But having 300 million people in this country, and most of us willing to do something about it, it's really encouraging to see something like this. Because
he is uniting us, is what you're saying.
Right, against him. But I'm saying, if when you ask people or you let them know that there's a need, especially Americans, somehow rally like nobody else. And it's really something that people, I feel, because I run a charity with my wife, and when we ask for donations and stuff, it's overwhelming the number of people who are willing to do that. It's overwhelming the number of people that are good-hearted people in this country, and we need to remember that that group is way larger than the group of smaller haters.
Way larger, and they're so diverse. Like, I looked at where the donations came from, and they come from all 50 states. So this idea that we're divided and that it's only people who, you know, live in these red states that voted for Trump and they're not going to come out and support this. Like, well, yes, they did vote for Trump, but the point is there are so many other people who live in these places who disagree with what's happening and are willing to throw in $10, $20. The other thing is so many people donated anonymously. Or they wrote Trump's name when they filled
in honor of.
Cal LaPan is on the line. We're talking about the money that he has raised way beyond what he expected to, as his story went viral, talking about helping the Syrian refugees. And I wanted to ask you about this, Cal, because you worked in the White House for President Obama in the public engagement sector. Why is it there are so many Americans out there who think that Syrian refugees are a threat to America? Why is that the message that so many people are getting when there's never been a Syrian refugee who has come to America and done anything but be grateful to be here and happy to be alive?
I mean, I can't speak for the people who think this. You should, call Sean Spicer. I'm sure he'll come up with some answer that may not be true.
That makes no sense.
But you know, I don't know, and I think this is a prime example of where sometimes we allow fear to take over. Mm-hmm. Where if you look at the countries that are affected by this ban, none of them have had anything to do with the spate of terror attacks in the last, what, since 9/11, right? The 9/11 hijackers were from Saudi Arabia and Egypt.
Right.
Those two countries are not mentioned in this ban. Conveniently, Donald Trump has business relationships with these two countries. Wonder if that had anything to do with it. and so you just sort of look at this stuff and say that this, we, it's not even a question of reading between the lines anymore. It's really a question of do we love our country? Is America a beacon of hope for the world's most vulnerable people? The answer is yes. If there are folks that are getting in the way of that, are there ways that we can continue to show love to people and kind of look past the nonsense and fear that they're trying to stoke? Yeah.
And I think that's more important now than it's ever been.
Yeah, I agree.
It's been a hell of a 12 days, Cal.
12 days.
I mean, when you think about it. And I wonder about people like you who worked in the past administration. It must be especially gut-wrenching when you see what looks like the hard work that you guys did over all those years being rolled back so quickly in so many ways.
In some sense, it's certainly jarring. I don't think it's particularly precedented that you have somebody who, is pushing through executive orders without checking with the government. I mean, I worked on a few executive orders when I was working at the White House, and, they go through this really long process. There's a reason that we have a bureaucracy. I mean, you can believe in small government, and that's great, but there is a function for certain government agencies and lawyers to look at pieces of paper and say, is this constitutional? Can we weigh in on it? The fact that Trump's doing these things without checking with Department of Homeland Security, without his national security team looking at it, after, letting go of the Joint Chiefs and the head of the Director of National Intelligence on the National Security Council, it's pretty jarring, I think if there were a silver lining to that, it's the indication that a lot of this stuff may be unconstitutional, which is why you see the ACLU and others filing suit and winning stays in certain cases. So it'll be an interesting thing to see unfold over the next few weeks and I guess the next 4 years.
I got to tell you, you were saying that there were people from both sides. I assume that there are people who voted for Trump. I mean, you're not – whoever you vote for, you're never going to be happy with everything they do.
You shouldn't be.
Yeah, it's just not going to be the case. And I assume that there are people who even voted for Trump who think this is harmful and they don't want to do it this way. So this is a way that they can help as well.
Yes, a lot of them have reached out to me. It's funny. I usually do a USO tour once a year, and there are a lot of soldiers and airmen and Marines who I manage to stay in touch with on Facebook and stuff. And I got at least 5 or 6 messages from folks who are still stationed overseas and said, look, I voted for Trump. I thought this was a good idea, but this is ridiculous. I mean, there were all these stories over the weekend, these army interpreters who literally saved American soldiers' lives who are being detained at the airport. And it's like that, these guys reach out and say, this is making us less safe because when I go back into the field and I'm trying to get somebody to recruit to help us out, to translate, to keep us safe, what Trump is doing is going to make that less likely. And it's going to cost American soldiers' lives. What can I do? And a lot of them said, I kicked in 10 bucks or I kicked in 50 bucks because I just want to show love to these folks that our country's turning their backs to. So I think you're right. You never agree with 100% of what any elected official says. That's a good thing. And there are ways to kind of speak up and say, look, I voted for you, but I don't agree with what you're doing here, and you should rethink this.
What's the easiest way, as we say goodbye, Cal, for folks to remember as they're hearing this on the radio to go online and contribute if they want to, having heard this talk?
Yeah, so, man, I'm so inspired by all the people who've jumped on. If you go to my Twitter account, which is @CalPenn, K-A-L-P-E-N-N, the first pinned tweet has a link to the CrowdRise page. And if you want to go directly there, it's crowdrise.com/Cal, K-A-L.
And one last thing, designated survivor went away December 14th. It's not coming back till March 8th. That's not okay.
Yeah, come on, man.
Why don't you speed that up a bit, Cal?
Get it together.
Why don't you spend less time on CrowdRise and let's get some more of those shows on TV.
That's what I'm saying.
We're working on it.
Okay.
All right, Cal. Great to talk to you again, my friend. Thanks for jumping on the Kevin Beach.
I appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks.
Got more Green Day on the way. Anytime you hear a song by the band between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m., you'll be caller 20 when tickets to go see them at the Rose Bowl happening all week here on K-Rock. Let me tell you about this Brandon Marshall, number 15, wide receiver, New York Jets on the phone. He had multiple 1,000-yard receiving yard seasons with Denver, with Miami, with Chicago, with the New York Jets, 6-time Pro Bowler, and working this week in Houston at the Super Bowl as the audience sports field reporter, social media correspondent for Super Bowl week. We talked to him last year. We're delighted to welcome him back to the show this year. Brandon, how are you, my friend? Thank you.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. I'm good.
It's our pleasure.
Super Bowl so far.
I can't imagine how busy you are because I've been watching, so much on the Audience Network. I watched a bunch of Dan Patrick yesterday and Rich Eisen in their show, and I saw Jim Rome on another channel, and it just looks like a zoo down there. Like, can you even get around, or is it just there are a million people in town for this thing?
What AT&T's Audience Network did you see it? What channel did you see it on? DirecTV?
Yes, DirecTV 239, correct.
AT&T UVerse. Which one?
Oh, well done, Brandon.
Brandon, that was smooth.
Nice.
That was smooth. I applaud that.
You like like that.
No, we are DirecTV people.
I know.
We're DirecTV people. I did read a report that where you said that you're a little tired of hearing about Bill Belichick. Explain that to us, because I feel like a lot of people.
Because Matt Patricia, it was more of spreading the wealth, and it has nothing to do with Coach Belichick. He's the GOAT. He's the best ever. It has everything to do with, you know, Matt Patricia's an excellent coach. He's borderline genius when it comes to defense.
Absolutely. So is Josh McDaniels too. Josh McDaniels, yeah, you can put him up there too.
Yeah, but he gets the credit. I mean, the last 2 years he could have picked where he wanted to go, and he decided to stay. He'll get his shot, but everyone knows he's great. But no one really talks about Matt Patricia.
So you think Bill Belichick is the greatest of all time, but there are other people that need credit on this particular team for this particular season.
Correct.
Coach all right.
Patricia is really good.
Did you by chance see the game where they had the side-by-side of a fan that looked exactly like Matt Patricia, and then they would show Matt? They had the same sweatshirt, same beard, same everything. It was the most awesome thing I've ever seen. It was unbelievable. Yeah,
he's awesome, man. He's already a personality.
Brandon, it's close enough to the weekend that fans from both teams are starting to descend on Houston. Are you seeing a lot of Falcons fans? Are you seeing a lot of Patriots fans? And if so, who's more fun?
It's still early, but I would definitely say Atlanta's funner because this is, you know, what is it, 7 Super Bowls? You know, so the Patriots, they're like spoiled. They already, you know, they understand this show already. And Atlanta, this is a big treat for them. And obviously, it's a treat for New England's fans as well because, like Tom Brady said, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and he's had the opportunity to be at 7 of them.
Yeah. So once in a lifetime that he does all the time,
about every other year, right?
So it's definitely special, but I think, you know, it's a lot of excitement in Atlanta right now.
Do you think that kind of experience, which, you know, New England has had, makes a huge difference in a game with this much pressure? Do you think that'll hurt Atlanta?
Of course. I mean, I've never been to the Super Bowl, so I couldn't tell you, but, you know, I would imagine that it's the same as anything, that any big moment, right? It's all about nerves, right? So if, you know, when you're working at your best is when you're able to control what you can control, your emotions and the way you approach things, how you process things and deal with the highs and lows, the ebbs and flows of a game or anything that's going on. And when you have the experience of knowing like, oh yeah, you know, it's going to be overwhelming coming out the tunnel and there's going to be thousands of flashlights hitting you, and oh yeah, the national anthem is going to be amazing. You've never heard anything like this. When you have that experience, it definitely keeps you balanced and right where you need to be, just to focus on the game.
We are talking to Brandon Marshall here on the Kevin DeBean Show for the New York Jets. He is working for Audience this weekend. He's a sports field reporter, social media correspondent for Super Bowl week. Are you going to get a chance to talk to Lady Gaga at any point while you're there, Brandon, about what she has planned for her halftime appearance? And are you going to be talking to Taylor Swift about her show Saturday night?
You know what? You guys can make that happen with Taylor
nope.
Swift. You
know, no, sir.
She is working with DirecTV this week. So,
Brandon, here's the problem. Is that I'm not a fan at all, and Allie's not a fan at all, and Ralph's not a fan at all, but Bean loves
I love it. Taylor Swift, obsessed. And I'm hoping you get some FaceTime with her.
No,
Brandon,
no.
I want to see you interviewing her.
You're good without it. You're all good.
All right, I'm going to try to. I'm definitely trying to interview Taylor Swift. I didn't even think about Lady Gaga, but you know what? I'm going to try to get that done.
Yeah.
Now, get that done. I love her.
They're sending you all over everywhere, all the parties and everything this week in Houston. Who have you gotten to talk to that has been exciting for you, Brandon? Because you meet a lot of people, you know, being a pro athlete anyway. But is there anyone that you caught up with that you were like, oh, that was fun?
Well, actually, we just got started today. So,
Just happening. All right.
But last year was awesome, man. I got some of the greats, Joe Montana and Jerome Bettis, Ryan Reynolds, Derrick Brooks.
Nice.
Snoop Dogg, to name a few celebrities.
All right.
Is Snoop Dogg the literal coolest guy on the planet?
No.
Gotta be honest, I wasn't expecting that answer.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's really cool, but, like,
you know, there's some amazing people. Yeah.
Let's not forget Willie Nelson is still alive, Kevin, for starters.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
All right, Brandon, I know we're almost out of time, but I have to ask, because you are so good at the media, is that the plan for you in the event that your career ends sometime in the next couple of years? Is this where you see your home being, is doing jobs like this?
Well, you know what? I'm already doing what I love. I'm playing ball, obviously, but, you know, and I'm doing television already. I'm on Inside the NFL and
right.
running
mm-hmm.
my nonprofit. Got a few for-profits I'm involved in. So, you know, we athletes always get asked that question. What are you going to do when you're done? And, you know, what I'm starting to learn and starting to tell other people is if you don't know already, if you're not already doing it, then you've lost.
Yeah,
you know, we have this amazing platform right now to have a seat at any table and or be a shadow, just shadow somebody, a fly on the wall to learn. People are willing to do that for us, and we need to take advantage of it while we have it.
I know that's just about out of time, but tell us about Project 375 if you'd like to.
Yeah, oh man, amazing organization that my wife and I lead with a few others, and two things that. You know, we focus on one intangible and one tangible. The intangible is breaking down the stigma surrounding mental illness. Where we're at today is where the cancer and HIV community was 20, 25 years ago.
Right.
And on the other side is actually doing real work. And we're working at the high school level with our children to bring resources. And we're using telemedicine to be able to give them what they need. You know, being able to Skype a clinician in South Dakota, where there may be only a handful of professionals, is critical. And the reason why we're focusing on technology and giving it away is because it's accessible, affordable, and scalable. We can reach the masses with it. So we're a startup, and we're working really hard, but we see ourselves as the preeminent foundation of the mental health community one day.
That's wonderful. Project375.org is what Brandon's talking about if you want to check it out. And you can look for him all this week and weekend on TV. DirecTV and UVerse customers watching audience sports on DirecTV Channel 239, UVerse Channel 1114. And, of course, you can live stream it on the DirecTV app or UVerse app. Brandon, I know it's only once a year we get to talk to you, but we always enjoy it. And thanks so much for coming on. Have fun in Houston this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
If you've always wanted a great job in show business, hang on. Just after the top of the hour, we're going to tell you about one that is available right now that involves working for a superstar. I think people will really be interested. I think a lot of people are going to apply for that job, is what I'm saying.
Sure.
So we'll tell you all about that coming up. First, Allie's got all the other showbiz news here in for Ralph Garman at 8:55. What's going on?
What do you guys think about the group The Chainsmokers?
I like them.
Yeah?
I like them.
They're fine.
I like that song Close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that song Closer with Halsey.
Like that a lot.
Sure.
They're fine.
Well, there's a writer named Matt Miller who writes for Esquire. He wrote an article suggesting that just as Nickelback singled the end of post-grunge arena rock, the Chainsmokers are the perfect scapegoats for the downfall of EDM. He's not a fan. He thinks they're a big problem, essentially.
Okay.
So what do the Chainsmokers do? Well, they release a new song. Maybe a mashup of sorts.
We were staying in Paris to get away from your parents, and I thought, wow, if I could take this in a shot right now, I don't think that we could work this out on the terrace. I don't know if it's fair, but I thought, how could I let you fall by yourself? Well, I'm wasted with someone else. It's not like you to say sorry. I was waiting on a different story. This time I'm mistaken for heading you a heart worth breaking. And I've been wrong. I've been down to the bottom of every.
That's so pretty strong.
I mean,
because he's Nickelbacking it.
Right.
That's
it's
strong.
Their hit Paris with Nickelback's How You Remind Me.
That's pretty strong.
I mean, come on.
Way to answer the critics.
Right?
I like
Suck it, Esquire and Matt Miller. That's not bad. That's
by the way,
stuff.
I was thinking about this the other day. Nickelback is a terrible band, but they're not the worst band of all time. They're
right? They're not Creed.
They're competent. You know what I mean? They're fine. There's nothing inspired about them. There's nothing to get excited about.
But I do think that they are unfairly characterized as the worst thing that rock music has ever produced.
I really mean, they're in the category.
Are they, though? Or yes. Is that just for whatever reason?
I think it just got easy to make fun of them and put them there.
Yeah, I think they became the shorthand. Look, they were never hip and they were never cool and critics were never going to like them. But there are millions of people who enjoy their music and it's fine. It's not something I would ever listen to, but I do think it's unfair what happened to them, to tell you the truth.
All right.
I just want to get that off my chest.
All right.
Team Nickelback. Okay.
I'm not Team you're Nickelback. Down. I'm not Nickelback. Side.
No,
you're down.
Yep.
You love them.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
Thank you, Bean. Something we are all on board for. A new Liam Neeson movie. It's an upcoming action thriller called Hard Powder. Hard Powder, you say? What's it about? Well, he's a snowplow driver in a glitzy Colorado ski town whose life is turned upside down when his son is murdered by the powerful local drug kingpin. So he looks for revenge.
Oh, it's on.
In Hard Powder.
Clip from the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, we know Kevin's going. Got a lot of louds.
Okay. Nope. Okay. All right.
He has a very specific set of skills.
He does all of those, even ringing the bell. That was him ringing the bell as well.
I don't know who you are.
All right.
That's it?
But I thought you had the rest of it. All right.
That was it.
All right.
Good. I got more. I got more if you want.
But I got all the Liam.
I don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you want.
No.
If you are looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have...
is hard powder.
...are a very particular set of skills.
Oh, there he is.
Skills that I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Now, he's another one of those senior citizens, Allie, that is fine, right?
He has been on my top five list of men for years.
Yeah.
And he could plow my driveway. That's what I'm saying.
Legendary plow.
I hope that is the tagline for Hard Powder.
he can plow my driveway. I hope it is, too. I need that movie out now. It just sounds amazing. All right, you guys, let's talk about some birthdays. Today is February 1st. All of these stars are celebrating today. Pauly Shore is 49. Weezer drummer Patrick Wilson is 48. Outkast rapper Big Boy is 42. Ronda Rousey is 30. Singer Harry Styles is 23. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Grammy-nominated Blink 182 on the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. By the way, that band's been around for 25 years, and did it amaze you, Allie, when Travis Barker was in the other day to tell us that this year is the first year they have ever been nominated for a Grammy?
I thought he was wrong, honestly.
I was shocked by
that. I'm like, he doesn't remember, which is sad.
Yeah. Like, how have they not won a 10 Grammys over their career. Crazy. That's what I don't get. All right. You're listening to Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. Allie brought us a story earlier that I wanted to revisit because we didn't have much time back then. And I really do think this is the kind of classified ad that could change somebody's life. If you've always wanted to break into show business, the exciting and glamorous world of show business, this could be your opportunity. What's going on?
All right. Apparently, this was posted as a job description on a website targeting personal assistants. And it is for Rob Lowe. You can be his personal assistant. So every time I say client, it's referring to Rob. Here are some of the requirements. Never assume anything. Ensure the client is fed and has coffee throughout the day. Schedule haircuts every episode for the client.
Ensure.
So if they do 2 weeks in a row, he needs to get his haircut 7 days later?
I mean, I don't know how fast his hair grows, but
that's crazy.
I mean, grow fast.
He always looks good.
Right. Very true.
Apparently, he is a guy who likes to, you know, keep it up. But I'm a little bit surprised by that. And by the way, how is the very first thing you list in a job seeking ad? Never assume anything.
Oh, never assume something's been done. A call has been made. This is all on you.
Yeah, that seems like good advice. Basically, you're going to get blamed for everything.
Absolutely.
So make sure it goes right.
Absolutely.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you were or are a personal assistant and tell us if this is a good gig.
And we want to find out what that job is like, being a beck and call of a celebrity, you know, sometimes 24 hours a day, and what kinds of crazy things you have to do, and if it's as glamorous as it looks, just hanging out and going to parties with them and things like that, or if it's just a thankless, no-win job. So so you're saying that the never assume is really just, I need somebody who with tremendous attention to detail.
And just be aware of something that might arise out of that. Just always be on your game.
So know the future.
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
Like,
and protect my pretty face.
Know if he wants a jacuzzi turned on or a massage ordered before his arrival. Let the estate staff know. Things like that. Be able to lift 25 pounds as required to support the client.
25
Excellent.
Pounds?
Here's my favorite, though. Ensure that the client has a dinner plan if arriving home later than 8 p.m. in the evening. He needs to eat, you guys.
Right.
Make sure he has something if he gets home late. Don't just assume he has something in the fridge. Make sure there's something in the fridge.
I don't want to be his assistant. I'd like to be Rob Lowe.
Amen.
Is that an option?
However, what about this? It pays $70,000 plus benefits.
Wow.
That's not bad.
That's a good job, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Am I wrong about that?
No, you are not.
It sounds like a good job. So, again, we want to hear from you. If you've got thoughts on this job working for Rob Lowe with this criteria described, 1-800-520-1067. But we really want to hear from you if you have ever had or currently have a job as a Hollywood personal assistant. Because, unfortunately, I think it's a pretty thankless job. Yeah. And I think it's pretty – imagine you're working for Mariah Carey or somebody. I mean, imagine what it would be like.
I used to have a friend, Bean, who was a hairdresser. And I don't know, maybe it was 10, 12 years ago. Mariah Carey used to call her. And she would have to come to Mariah Carey's house at any time of the day or night.
Oh, sure.
So she'd be asleep. And it would be 1:30 in the morning. And Mariah Carey would call. And she would expect her to be there within 30 minutes.
Wow.
She would have to get out of bed. Oof. And race over to Mariah Carey's house.
I don't love it.
For emergency hair cutting?
I guess.
Or something?
Styling? I don't know.
But, I mean, most of the time you never hear about celebrity assistants. They're just random people who are standing behind the celebrities walking, you know, on a red carpet with them or something like that. The only time you ever hear about them is when something goes bad or somebody gets fired or somebody leaks something. Somebody speaks out about some terrible behavior or something like that. So I just wonder, I mean, I guess it all depends on the quality of the person that you're working for. If Rob Lowe's a good guy, maybe it's a pretty good job to take care of
him. Right. If he's a terrible guy, then it's not a good job.
Not
even if
job.
It pays 70 grand, you're like, oh, it's not worth it. Well, maybe it's worth it for 70 grand.
I agree with you that being Rob Lowe sounds like the deal. Imagine it being somebody else's problem, Kevin, whether your jacuzzi was preheated before you got home.
Right?
Imagine not having to think about that.
Imagine having somebody available to make sure that I get back in the house when I go on the roof. I mean, I could use a personal assistant like that.
Imagine not having to think about dinner if you didn't already have plans and knowing that when you got home, somebody else would have already arranged that for you. That's also a pretty good deal. All right. We'll take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Let's take one right now to get us going. This is going to be Highland Park and Hazel. She is up first on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hazel, glad you're listening. Glad you called. What's going on?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. So I used to work for a 6-time Grammy-winning artist, Pepe Aguilar. He's a mariachi singer.
Okay.
And you know, I thought it was going to be super glamorous, but, I mean, it literally was me having to drive to McDonald's to get his frappuccinos.
That's awesome. That's awesome from his standpoint. I need a cappuccino. Be gone with you.
That doesn't sound like terrible work. I mean, there are lots of people whose job involves them jumping in a car and running across town to run an errand, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally, totally. And then that wasn't even the worst part. There was times when I would have to buy him a motorcycle, like, super last minute and have it somehow flown out to Zacatecas, Mexico for Christmas.
What?
And had to deal with customs forms. And his mariachis were always pissed off. So they were always coming to me asking about their tax forms because you can never trust Latinos.
You do not want angry mariachis on your ass.
You said it for
that
years,
is
Kevin.
Not something you want.
No, that is it is well known that is a cutthroat injury.
Right?
It is every mariachi player for himself.
They will take you out.
So I apologize that I am unfamiliar with Mr. Aguilar's work, but I mean, was he super rich from playing the accordion or something?
Accordion
or whatever he plays. I don't know what he plays.
He's in a mariachi band.
Right, but they also have accordions. That is a musician in a mariachi band. So was he like super well off?
he came from super, like, Mexican Hollywood royalty. His dad used to act alongside John Wayne.
Oh, okay, so he had money. He had money to start out with, even.
Yeah, he had money to start out with, and he was a total rocker dude with, like, full arm sleeve tattoos. He was also the tallest Mexican I've ever seen in my life.
Okay. That's quite a category.
He's a tall Mexican.
Hazel.
Sombrero.
Hazel, what? I'm sorry?
6'5" with a sombrero.
That's pretty sweet. Hey. That's pretty sweet.
That's a good look.
Was it worth it? Did you get paid enough that it was worth it?
Hell no. I did not get paid enough. I have a birthday.
Take it easy. I was just asking.
Did you get to go to any celebrity parties?
Yeah, I mean, I got to, you know, hang out at the. You know, I went to the Univision parties. I got to go to backstage and kind of see how the music industry works from an actual working perspective. I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, I love the music world, and that's kind of why I did it.
Is mariachi the music world?
Yes, of course it's the music world. It's a very legitimate form.
You know, all right, that's what I meant.
Mariachis matter too, guys.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hazel.
All right. You're awesome for calling. Thank you so much. Gio, you hang on. Pamela as well. We're going to take your calls too. Were you a personal assistant to a celebrity? How's this Rob Lowe job sound to you? We want to hear from you on both those topics. 1-800-520-1067 on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock?
No.
It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 921.
Either do a radio show or eat lunch. You don't do them both at the same time.
All right.
All right.
Oh, he just walked away.
Hey, Kevin, come back, man. We're having fun.
He's back in his playpen.
Hey, come back.
Oh. You told me to eat.
Allie came across a story about the great actor Rob Lowe, who he's a grinder, don't you know? He's Dr. Vegas. He's the Parks and Recreation. He's West Wing. He's the current Code Black. And there's an opportunity for you to be his personal assistant. And he had a list of things he was looking for. Job pays about $70,000 a year plus benefits, by the way, which seems like a pretty fun job to me. So we're taking calls at 1-800-520-1067. What's it like being a celebrity assistant? Let's go to Pamela. She's in Highland Park. She's up first, line 6. Let's find out what's up.
Hey, Pamela, what's up?
Hi, guys.
Hi. So you were a personal assistant?
Back in the day, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, good.
Now, we were guessing that it all whether it's a good job or a bad job all depends on the caliber of the person you're working for. How is your celebrity?
True. I mean, obviously, you know, it is the person. But it doesn't matter who the person is. You will lose your life. And you will have to literally spoon feed every actual action to that person.
Oh, because it's a 24/7 thing. You're never off.
Yeah, you're never off. You have no life. $70,000 is not enough.
I can see that.
It's the assistants that build this industry. So the only thing I will say is, though, it builds you up for – I'm a line producer now. Builds you up to know it's boot camp. It's boot camp for knowing how everything works and a 24/7 type of job.
So it's a pretty good way to get into the industry then, because you do make contacts just by virtue of the job that you do.
Yes, and also just dealing with the fact that you always have to be on and you always have to think ahead and you always have to, you know, be the support for some very special people that work in this industry, which will never end.
Right.
So it's totally worth it.
That's what you're...
A lot of hand-holding. All right, before we let you go, and we appreciate you calling, was there anything that sticks in your mind as you thought it was a crazy or insulting or embarrassing or unpleasant thing that you had to do for your celebrity?
There's, hand-washing underwear.
Wow!
Special jeans, and I know a lot of guys in L.A. are like this. You got to wash them in a bathtub, and... like at a certain temperature, they cannot be dry cleaned or washed.
What the hell?
Washing of special garments.
Oh, gotcha. Wow. Say no more. All right, Pamela, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Calabasas, line 3. This is going to be Larkin up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. She was a celebrity personal assistant, and she's willing to name names.
And Cheryl, you hang on. We're going to come to you. Larkin, hi.
Hi there. Well, she's a he. I'm Larkin.
Hi. Apologize. I'm sorry.
That's okay, man. Yeah, I worked for Tom and Roseanne back in like in their heyday. Like,
Tom Arnold and Roseanne Barr. No,
it's really painful for me to even talk about it. But I was like in 93, 94, and back then Tom was getting to be kind of a guy on his own. He had his own sitcom for about a year, and he was going nuts. And we were on the Radford lot at CBS, and she had her show, and she was killing it, making a ton of money. He was her opening warm-up guy, so. the paychecks were rolling in, but you know, there was a lot of us assistants, but we were all like in it together. I don't know if there was a assistants anonymous, but we would have been in it. We were
so it was, I mean, do you remember what were they paying you back then, and was it worth it?
Well, I was just like in my mid-20s, and it wasn't a ton, but they gave us a lot of bennies. You know, it was like my first cool cell phone I could take home, and they gave us some cash on the side. And Tom was pretty cool at times. You know, if I was going to buy, like, if he wanted a tent that he was never going to use, he would say, yeah, pick up one for yourself, Larkin. So that was kind of cool. There was some cool stuff.
Yeah, at least you got a free tent out of it.
Was that one of the bennies?
You never say Benny again, Larkin.
So Larkin, did you ever get one of those infamous calls that we see in TV movies where the celebrity is out of his mind, drunk or high, and calls you at 4 a.m. and asks you to do something crazy for him?
You know, at the time, honestly, we had like a restraining order. We couldn't say squat about what we were saying because, you know, the National Enquirer would call our house. And
right.
They were hot right then, and they wanted anything they could get. But, you know, some of the funny ones I got, there were some ones I shouldn't tell about Tom. Like he was telling people, I'm not eating carbs. I'm not on carbs. And he'd call me at 11:30 at night. I need 4 baked potatoes. I want them brought to the set. And don't tell anybody. And don't tell Rosie. You know how.
That's awesome. I want to be able to get somebody to bring me baked potatoes at 11:30 at night. That sounds great.
It's totes of Benny.
He could eat a potato like a small apple. He would just bury that thing.
We're learning a lot today.
He would just bury that thing.
I kind of want Larkin to be my assistant.
Larkin, you're the best, but stop saying Benny's, all right?
All right, let's go to your friend Cheryl, Kevin. She's on Line 5 calling from Los Angeles. Let's see what she's talking about.
Hey, Cheryl.
Hi there.
You were a personal assistant for?
I was helping out with the roast of Mr. Rob Lowe, who was my idol as a child. I had, you know, pictures all over my bedroom of him. I had met him before he got lost. When I used to work at a studio, so I had helped him in the past.
All right.
And I was one of four people that got fired in a day from him for making him walk 5 steps out of his way. And that was after he wouldn't come out of his trailer for getting until he had his triple espresso.
Uh-oh.
With a side of half and half. And then after he fired me, they had the nerve to come up and ask me to get him another triple espresso.
Well, he needed it still. So you were an assistant for Rob Lowe, the guy that got this whole conversation started. Yeah.
For his roast that was on Comedy Central.
So it was just for his roast or it was for him?
No, it was for him.
Oh, I see.
For the roast.
Just right.
For
the roast. Okay. In the weeks he was working.
I got a song because 3 other people had been fired within that day.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Gotten him his triple espresso, and then after he called me off his services, he had the nerve to come ask me for another one.
Well, again, he was having a stressful day. He was going through assistants left and right, man.
Just because he fired you doesn't mean he doesn't need his espresso.
Exactly. Yeah. Come on. Get it together, Cheryl.
What kind of personal assistant are you? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
We got time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. In for Ralph Garman, it's the lovely Ami.
Hey, guys. We knew that Depeche Mode had new music coming out and a new album called Spirit.
I can't wait for the videos, though. That's what I'm really excited about.
It was going to be released in the spring, but we now have a date. Spirit will be released March 17th.
Yeah,
kids, wait for this. The lead single, Where's the Revolution, is arriving this Friday.
Yeah!
All right.
What? This Friday, new music from Depeche Mode.
I'm in.
Oh, I'm in, too. Good stuff. Did you guys by any chance hear Dana White talking about Ronda Rousey this week?
I did not.
He was on the UFC Unfiltered podcast, and he mentioned Ronda, said her spirits are good, she's doing her own thing. And then here's his quote. In the conversation I had with her, if I had to say right here, right now, and again, I don't like saying right here, right now, because it's up to her and it's her thing, but I wouldn't say she fights again.
I agree with that thought.
He
that
said,
would be my guess.
I think she's probably done. I think she's going to ride off in the sunset and start living her life outside of fighting. Is that a shock
Dave,
to anyone?
Did you see the Ronda Rousey fight? Ronda Ruffy's named after a loser.
That's hurtful.
I mean, I think Dave has to put his dog down now, right?
If I don't think, no, I don't think that's how it works. How it
really?
Works at all. But
look, after Expendables and whatever else she's done, she's got a career in movies if she wants it, right?
Who has gone from the most unbeatable fighter ever to retiring because she can't win quicker?
Gina Carano.
Okay. All right.
But she never had the invincibility.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Boy, that's crazy.
It is crazy. It's kind of a bummer that this is kind of how she ends it.
But. I mean, it would have been. I think we would have been delighted had Ronda won that last fight and she was back. And now we've got all that other competition coming out of her in her class. But
yeah, but then Cyborg.
But she wasn't
good
even
night, everybody.
Close.
Not yeah, not no. even close.
I mean, in that last fight, ready. It was terrible.
And it's so funny because look, she got beaten badly by Holly Holm. But don't you now, at this point in retrospect, think that it affected her mentally as much as it did physically?
Oh,
she
100%.
Just did not seem like she had it that same fire that she had before.
At all. Hey, did you guys watch that Menendez Brothers movie? It was a few weeks ago.
No,
I did not.
I taped it, and then I thought, I don't care.
Was it like a documentary?
Yeah. It was a made-for-TV movie, and I wasn't into it. However,
they're the ones that killed their parents.
They killed
right?
their parents, okay. Saying that they had both gone through a lot of sexual abuse by them. So both Lyle and Eric apparently killed their parents. However, Lifetime Cable has just okayed a movie about the Menendez brothers, Lyle and Eric. No casting yet, except for the mom, Kitty. She will be played by none other than Courtney Love.
Interesting.
I'm in.
All right.
Good stuff. Do you guys remember when she starred in the 1996 movie, The People versus Larry Flint?
I do, and she was good in that.
She, received a Golden Globe nomination for Best Actress in a Motion Picture Drama. So I'm excited to see her back up on the big screen. She seems to be doing really good with her life right now, and I like that.
Agreed.
Thank you. That was my hot take. Feel pretty good about it. We talked about this earlier, and it's just bizarre. So Ozzy Osbourne had revealed that he was going through intense therapy after parting ways with his wife Sharon last year, claiming he was a sex addict, and that's what everything was stemming from. And
he went to Sex Anonymous.
Yeah, so then he, him and Sharon had gotten back together. They eventually reconciled. Great. Well, now he's doing some backtracking. Now he's chalking up his infidelity up to the fact that, quote, he's in an effing band. There's always been groupies. He just got caught.
That's so not a sex addict, just had so much opportunity to have sex that he took advantage of. How
sounds,
could he not?
Sounds really honest.
Really honest, but at this point, wouldn't you have just kept it
just keep that to yourself?
Yeah, I'm a sex addict, and if you did want to come out with this, maybe just say to Sharon, listen, I'm not a sex addict. I just, it was everywhere. What would you do? It's all very, very bizarre. Speaking of having sex, Pharrell Williams had sex with his wife, Helen, and that made three babies at once.
I'm sorry?
How powerful must his sperm be?
His sperm is amazing. They have welcomed triplets into their home early last month. His wife, Helen, had triplets.
Wow.
I mean.
Right?
Three babies, you guys.
Yeah. What?
I know.
That's a lot at
I
one
know.
Time.
At one time. They have an 8-year-old son together named Rocket Ayer. And we don't know yet what the triplets' names are, but I'm hoping for close to Rocket, who's with me.
If there was ever any question that having three babies at once is a bad idea, I refer you to a little program called This Is Us that I believe is a documentary about a family
it's
that
not
had
a documentary.
Triplets.
That's a, just they a
had
fiction.
They had twins, and then they adopted a kid who was dropped off at a fire station.
That's a fictional
story. And they
raised
the three of them together, and it's crazy
fictional.
How much work it was.
But, it was a lot of work, but look at how they turned out.
They did turn out
one
pretty
is,
great kids.
Yeah, like a Wall Street type guy. He's doing great.
That's true.
One is an actor on the show The Manny.
So it could work out for
Yeah. A lot of good stuff. If you're not watching This Is Us, you're doing something wrong with your life. Who's with me?
I'm with you.
All right. If you were wondering about The Weeknd and where he was going to sit at the Grammy Awards.
That was my biggest concern.
Well, don't worry. word is he is pulling some strings over the Recording Academy, saying he has put in a request to sit with his new lady, Selena Gomez.
Wait, hold on a second. I thought he was dating one of the Hadid girls.
Oh, no. They broke up, and there have been pictures of him and Selena smooching all over the globe.
Are you
not paying attention?
Come on, dude.
I'm sorry.
I thought you liked to stay current.
Right? I do. I thought I did, too, but apparently I'm falling behind here.
But do you think this is maybe one reason that Bieber said, I'm not going to the Grammys? He got word of this?
Oh. That's very possible. Because he is a little bitch when it comes to Selena. That's definitely
totally
his kryptonite.
Is.
Yeah.
I dig it.
I assume everybody at the Grammys were like, all right.
All right. Cool.
And that hurts us how.
Right.
But look.
We'll put Rob Schneider in your seat. We're cool.
I got the impression that The Weeknd and Selena was a musical thing, like they were working together, kind of like, and then everybody.
You don't know. You were just guessing.
No, I don't know. But what I'm saying is I'm surprised to hear that they're an actual couple. It's like all the people who tried to make Drake and Taylor a couple because they were doing music together.
Right, and J-Lo.
You can do so much better.
I thought that was the same sort of deal. But you're saying they're for reals. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Right. There's pictures of them making out.
Right. Selena!
Yep.
All right. Thank you. Thank
Selena!
You very much. All right. Mugs is taking it pretty hard.
Yeah.
Miss Gomez! Selena!
Okay.
God damn it!
I agree.
She is just cute as a button, isn't she?
She is.
She's just a
beast. Not how I would say it, but yes, she's cute. She's pretty. She's cute as a bug's ear, is what she is.
I mean.
All right.
1930s Bean.
Hey, guys, it's February 1st. All of these stars are celebrating their birthday today. Pauly Shore, 49. Weezer drummer Patrick Wilson is 48. UFC fighter, former champion, actress, all around wonderful woman. She's been delightful every time she's come in here. Ronda Rousey is 30. Actress Heather Morris is 30. Singer Harry Styles is 23. And Outkast rapper Big Boy is 42. I'm Allie McCann. For all everyone walking the show with me.
Thank you, Allie. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. It's a random act of helpfulness in the SoCal helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we got Matt Money Smith, who is talking Super Bowl from Houston. We have Dr. Drew on the program like we do on Thursdays, and we've got your tickets to see Green Day at the Rose Bowl. We'll see you tomorrow morning.